Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Babble Z, episode 304. I'm Ticketmaster, joined by
RPG Maniac 05
and Trioptical.
So, yeah, we've got some What's Been Playing, Star Wars middle segment goodness, and the news. So, I guess we'll start like we have for a while, but eventually it'll stop because I've had enough of this. And,
not to mention
that can only mean it's time for Destiny.
Ah. That's how you want your game advertised to people. It's like, yeah, I'm so tired of this. Let's talk about it. Because reasons. So, yeah. Good job, Activision. Good job.
I mean, so we talked about this briefly before the stream started. And, yeah, I can kind of see where Tekken is coming from, where it's like, especially, you know, when they tell us there's a smart loot system and then they don't give you loot that you need, that just feels particularly infuriating. Like, what are you trying to get right now?
All I need is a 320 Go Shell.
And you got, like, we went through the raid 3 times yesterday. That's like, how many drop opportunities? And you got, not even a 320 ghost shell, like, 0 ghost shells.
Yeah, it was super infuriating because the specific spot in the raid where you would get a ghost shell, I didn't get it. And then the only extra chance you have of getting something is on Oryx. And I got shotguns from them every time. It was a shotgun party. And I was like, thanks, game. You're really delivering tonight. Whatever. Over it. Whatever.
Sad. And so, well, the extreme that you mentioned was that you could be done with the series like forever. It's not even when new content drops will be back. It's just sort of, you're done.
Right? Yeah, because like, I keep thinking about it, and then are you still there, Tropical?
Yep.
Okay, because I just got like a weird message pop up on my Skype. But, it's like, yeah, RPG.
Oh, RPG fell off.
Fell off.
Aww.
But it's like I keep like every like, it's really weird when I go to work and I'm like thinking about the game. I will just like think like I can't help it. My brain like my brain just keeps going back to that spot of like Destiny, and I'll just be thinking of weapons. I'm like, oh, well, it's Third Eye. Like it's really weird. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. But like I in my brain all day long, in my mind, I'll just be thinking about games, and Destiny's always in rotation because I'm always having playing it, even if it's just once a week. And then it's like I don't know. I just it's like I feel like. Every, since this is like 2 years in a row where this has happened, or it's like, I'm trying to progress in the game, and like, and then it's even worse because it's like, you don't really need to be at the cap, and now that I see that, it's like, well, maybe I should just play until I just have like done everything, or have gotten everything, but then that's, it's just not a fulfilling experience. It's like, I think about it and I'm like, well, usually in a game, I think I was just thinking of Fallout 4 or something, somebody mentioned Fallout 4 one day, and then right, I started thinking about, oh, I remember what it was. I saw the thingy, the headlines from when like Fallout 4 like outsold Black Ops 3 or whatever, and I was like, see, this is why, or I guess not this is why, but it makes me happy that like a linear story-driven game outsold some like stupid multiplayer-only game, whatever, that people only play, is just because, you know, I don't know, just hopefully more people would like focus on making games like that, because it's like, stop trying to make shooter-shooter, multiplayer, blah, 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 whatchamacallit, MOBAs. Anyway, so my brain was in that space of, like, story games, and I just, like, I should play through the story, be an end, have my experience, and it'll be good. And then I was like, well, how does Destiny fit into this? Because it's like, well, story's terrible. I don't think they can fix it. And if they don't fix it, with the next expansion, I'm probably just going to be done. Because that's, like, the only part of the thing that they need to fix, really, for me, is, like, the story, lore, characters, all that good stuff is like what I care about in a game I usually play. And I've been playing like Telltale games for like 2 weeks straight, so it's just been like week after week of like delicious goodness of like Telltale stuff, and it's just like, man, so good. Ah, and then I get to play Destiny, and it's like I'm like, why am I abusing myself like this? There's nothing here for me. It's like, I don't do the Nightfalls anymore because I don't need that stuff. And then all the other stuff is like I don't do, so I don't need. And then it's like, I have stuff that I could do in the game, but it's like, I just lost all my drive after RPG got his triple 320 ghost, which is like, what I needed, and the game didn't give me one, and it's like, it hasn't given me one since the raid, and it's like, why am I putting myself through this? This isn't fun, this is punishing, and why am I doing this? I don't know. Oh.
So the punishing part is being denied what you're trying to get, or is it more the story part, or is it both like combined together?
I think it's just not getting what I'm trying to get, because after a while of doing that, it's like you realize I actually don't need this and I don't need to be playing this game, and why am I playing this game? And it makes me feel stupid for playing it over and over and over and over and over. It's like at this point I'm just chasing loot, and that's really all I am doing. It's like I'm chasing loot, I'm on some treadmill to nowhere, chasing loot in the sky, hoping RNGs will drop it, and I'll be happy. But then, like, what happens then? I didn't even need to be 320 to be what I'm doing now, so it's like, I didn't even need to do that. And then, I have all the exotic stuff, so it's like, I don't really need to be doing anything, really, or I don't, like, what, it's like, now I look in the game, and it's like, what is there for me to do that I haven't done yet? It's like, well, Grimoire cards, no thanks. Ah, whatever, it's just, I could, like, walk away, and, like, forever be done, and be happy, and just be like, yeah, that Disney thing. For 2 years, that was a fun time. Never again. And then it made me think even more of like, well, I guess I never could get into MMOs, and this is really a super quasi MMO. So this is totally like tainting the pool of like every other game that's like. Because I started thinking about The Division, I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to put myself through that again. So I'm like, oh yeah, there's story stuff, but then that online took it'll get you. You know, just keep going back through, trying to get your better loot, and yeah. Now I'm like just hoping more games don't try to copy Destiny and emulate what it does. I guess we'll see.
So for season 3, then, like, what do they have to add? What is it like? So clearly the loot situation.
But the thing is, Tragical, like each year, it just seems like it's very formulaic at this point. Of like, they'll add a raid, they'll add more strikes, they'll add more weapons, and and that's the other thing is like all your gear becomes obsolete. So it's like if I have to like re-delete all my inventory again, I think at that point I am done, because it's like I don't want to do this again. It's like going back through and getting all this other stuff that there is to get now, and I guess if it's Destiny 2 though, and it's a completely new game. Maybe, because there's, like, hope to, like, you know, completely unshackled from PS3 and 360. There could be a hope. They could do something awesome, but the way things are now, it's like, pass.
So you're not expecting any sort of huge shakeup if it's just gonna...
Yeah, it's just gonna be, like, you know, another enemy faction, because we have the Taken, so it's like, I think if it's not a new faction, then it's just gonna be a focus on whatever faction it'll be for that year. So it'll probably be Cabal if the outbound signal theory is like, oh, well, they're sending their signal to the Cabal and we're going to go fight the Cabal. So if it is the Cabal, and it's like and that's the other thing, it's like that, it's going to be like that for 12 months. And it's like the way that they're like, you know, giving new content with this air quote seasonal events isn't as refreshing or good in my opinion as it would be if it was just what they did last year with the content updates with the season pass stuff or the expansion pass stuff. Of like, oh, here's some new stuff every... Well, I guess it still wasn't as frequent. I think that's the key thing, is like, the new infusion of stuff and content to the game is just not at the pace it would at a good pace for me, even though I play way too much anyway, it's not at a, like, satisfying amount. So, like, that'd be the top of the list of, like, new stuff all the time, not just, like, every now and then. Or, like, they'll say it, and then it's like, oh, we're delaying it, because, like, they delayed, Dark for a little while?
No, House of Wolves got delayed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, that'd be nice. Yeah. And just, like, even go back and, like, do what they did with the, like, when they did, like, they did this year, like, they added the quest system, and, like, they had the, like, quest for, that incorporated old things, like, the Vault of Glass. If, like, they could, like, somehow incorporate quests for, like, everything, and then just, like, give the whole game a refresh, where you could, like, replay the game again, and, like, have it feel brand... Well, I guess not brand new, because you're still doing, like, all the old stuff. It's like, you could go back and do things, and it could still be relevant, and, like, still be tied in to, like, what you're doing in year 3. That'd be good.
Nah.
Yeah, it would be cool. Well, one of the biggest disappointments for me was how, in the end, Sleeper Stimulant was, like, a thing that they had to unlock on their end, and it wasn't something that the community could figure out. You know, like, that sounded really cool to me. It wasn't something I was probably going to participate in, but, like, if they had more things like that. And what they talked about with the Dreadnought was, like, they wanted it to be this huge, huge area where you had to explore to find places for a weapon.
There's so many secrets.
But then, you know, actually doing it is really not that fun. Like, oh, I have to run around here and look for these calcified fragments, and there's 50 of them, and like who? It's like they took the part of Assassin's Creed, like, oh, or like the drug packages in Grand Theft Auto. It's like, this is the whole game. Like, I just doesn't, thinking back now, it's like, well, that doesn't sound like a good idea at all. Like, that doesn't sound fun.
And it was not, so.
Yeah. Apparently so.
Because, I mean, initially,
10,
cause I know
15?
How do you only have 15?
I have no idea. I don't have many of them.
Because I know, like, initially, there was, when it first, the super stimulant thing, like, there was the rumors or something that it's like, you have to find, like, pieces of the blueprint to build it or whatever, and it's like, okay, that could be cool. It's, like, tied to a quest for, like, each piece or something.
Yeah.
But then when it turned out that you're pretty much dependent on the fun of the random drops that is Destiny, it's like, okay, so now,
to get the pieces.
Yeah, it's like, so now I have to hope these things drop before I can even get the quest line to do this. So it's like, oh, yay. So,
you know, actually, that would be a really cool part if they did it so that, you know, there was content for different levels of, or how much you play. So, like, some people would have, you know, like, the people who play a lot would be sort of at the forefront, and they'd be discovering all these cool things. And then, after a certain amount of time, Bungie could just unlock those things for other people, and they wouldn't have to go through frustration to get them.
Oh, yeah, I thought of something that I almost forgot, but, yeah, like, I think, like, another thing, as far as, like, the failings of Gear 2, is, like, all the, not all the things, but there's a lot of things that were, like, added in Gear 2, that's, like, if you look at the possibilities and the potential, it's, like, it's so good, but they don't do anything with them. It's, like, the factions don't matter. It's like when you like align yourself with any of the factions in the tower, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Tekken, because now you get cool respawn animations when you find them high enough.
And then like the fact that they like killed all the rep that you get from Nightfall. Well, I guess you get it like from Nightfall still, but it's like it's just such a pain to do that to get like one exotic quest class item from each faction. You have to like level it up 25 times over, and it's just like, you know, guys.
That's how it works. You have to get to level 25 of each one?
Yes.
To get the quest, you get to 25. And then, yeah. Because I've been switching classes.
And then there's a quest? Or...
Yeah, there's a quest.
Okay.
And it's not fun, because, you know, it's Destiny. So, yeah.
Like, that is kind of a cool idea. But then the problem is, getting to level 25,
yeah,
you're doing like the stuff that you've been doing anyway. It's like...
Yeah, yeah.
So it's one of those things that it kind of worked out for people who had already, like, focused on,
pre-taking
games. But then it's, like, for people like me who were just, like, I think it's, like, once you get to a certain, like, the level 3 with them, I was, like, well, I don't need these items anymore. And then I stopped wearing all the faction rep items and, like, never used them. So I was, like, at level 3 once taking King started. I was, like, so, yeah, this is never happening. So I just... didn't even bother, because I think, like, the highest level I am with any faction is, like, level 9. So I was like, yeah, never gonna get that, so I'm not even gonna try. So.
I don't think I even have that, and I started the game with Future War Cult, and I've only been playing with them. I'm not even near, I don't think I'm even near level 9. Like, 7 or something.
Yeah, and now that they, like, nerfed how much rep you can get, it's, like, it's gonna be impossible for anybody who wasn't, like, already... really high level with their factions before the switchover. So
I wonder if the answer is to make the game more casual, I guess?
I don't know. Because, like, I think part of the problem is, like, it's very easy to burn through the new content if you, like, play pretty regularly. So I guess, like, in that regard, if you did just play, like, casually, then you'd probably be able to, like... spread it out for like some weeks or months or something, but it's very easy to kind of get through in a few hours of like a normal person playing. So
that's why I realized with the challenge mode in the hard raid is that, you know, at first I thought, oh, it'd be stupid if they rotate them, but then it occurred to me as like, well, not everyone is going to play that challenge that week, you know? So if you never do it again, then you're sort of forcing everyone to play, and then in some ways those people will feel like, well, we're being punished for not playing every single week like the people who can do that. So it's like, okay, so I guess that makes sense. But then, yeah, like, that, like, that's the part they have to make up. Like, the content, they knew that everyone would burn, and I use everyone in quotes, like, everyone was gonna burn through the content relatively quickly, because there's not really that much there. Even all the year two stuff added on, it's like twice as long as it was before, so maybe 15 hours, 14 hours, instead of 6 hours. And then, so, you know, the next incentive was like, well, it's gear. You know, you keep doing these things and you'll get better and better gear, in theory. And so, yeah, there's the part where it's like, in theory part maybe doesn't actually work. And then also, it's like, once you get the gear, like, the incentive to have it is sort of, it's also not that great. It's like, okay, so I got this. Now what? Yeah, like, the quest to 320. Once you get to 320, it's like, now what?
Yeah, that's why I never saw, like, the big deal with, like, with, like, Zafro and the guys, like, all raging about. Because it's like, well, yeah, if you get it, then what are you going to do then? Then you lose, like...
Stop playing! Yes! Free! Well, free!
But I mean, if you're that eager to stop playing,
so
then just
hard, yeah.
Stop playing. Like, there's no way... Like, I don't understand.
Working so hard so I don't have to play anymore.
Yeah, it's like, that doesn't make sense to me. Why don't you just, you know, not play? Like, it's not a hard concept. Like, I don't understand. It's like, you're...
I haven't reached the summit of your RPG. I'm not at the top of the mountain. I'm like, I'm there.
But that's...
I haven't reached the flag yet.
But that's what doesn't make sense. It's like, yeah, once you get there, there's like, what's the point? Like, being 320 gets you nothing. Like, it's just, you're going to be at 320 and then, yeah, you're just there. Until, like, there's some content release where that becomes necessary. Because otherwise, it's like, well...
Yeah, that's why Tropical is, like, when your 3 stick comes around and, like, all your crap's obsolete, it's like, I'm not going to go through another round of, like, deleting my crap again. And then, like, continue to play. It's like, that's why I'm skipping your 3. It's like, I might never come back even, because it's like, well, after this effing grind, like, I think that's the thing that's getting me, just the grind in this game. It's just, like, it's like, I'm fine with the grind every now and then, but I think 3 times over with 3 characters is just like, you know, and I kind of take breaks in this game, but it's like, it is like the one game that I think, like, a grind of any kind just, like, got to me, and I can't do it anymore.
It's not really even a grind either, because, you know, grind means...
Oh yeah, I guess you have a point. Cause, like,
you take
the stone and you
run it on the ground, and sooner or later, it will be nice and smooth.
Like we said, like, earlier, it's like the loot system.
Yeah,
like,
this
if
is not
like
that case.
Grinding, it's like you're bashing your head against the wall, but it's like, it's not up to you. It's like when Disney decides to, like, throw you a little tablet of Advil to, like, stop, ease the pain, but until it does, it's like, ha ha, yeah, keep going, Tekken. Ha ha ha.
But the problem is you keep going. That's it's like you keep going despite the fact that you know this is what happened. Like, I don't understand. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. That's why anytime, like, you guys have sent me messages over the past week to, like, help you with the raid, I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm not. Like, I'm not, like, I don't understand the, like, why would you torture yourself? It doesn't make sense to me. So I'm just like, yeah, no, I'm not doing this. So so I just
I'm
don't understand.
I'm the only one now who plays the raid for fun. I mean, I raid 3 times. When I can, I raid 3 times every Tuesday, too. But I only have one character.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you're the character's only behind.
Yeah,
the
like, I'm the only one doing it for fun. Because for me, it feels like, there are still challenges that I can, you know, put forth in front of myself. Like,
first
I don't
curse
have
only challenge, guys.
I don't have Touch of Malice. So it's like, how do I do the things that everyone else is doing with Touch of Malice with the weapons that I had? And I feel like I've come up with a pretty good solution. This is like, cocoon all my weapons. So basically, I never reload. I just switch to another gun. Seems to work okay.
I guess that'd be another neat thing they could do with, like, if they ever decide to, like, go back and retouch the year 1 and 2 stuff, is, like, add some sort of, like, prestige challenge playthrough of, like, super hard tier Nightfall Edition game, even if it's just the same stuff. But then it's like, the reward has to be worth it, but then they probably wouldn't do it because it's like, oh, well, all the casual people can't do this. So it's like, ugh, whatever, dude.
But wouldn't that kind of, like, be the point, just being a prestige challenge, though, is because it's not for the casual people
just
to
for
do?
Prestige.
Well,
so, you know, the idea of a game where it's like, the purpose of the game is kill monsters to get loot so that you are stronger so you can kill more monsters. Like, that's pretty typical. But for some reason, we've touched on a whole bunch of them, it feels wrong in Destiny. Like, it's sort of broken somewhere. And that's where they need to fix it.
I agree with that statement. Especially after playing Borderlands pre-sequel and being like, this feels just like Borderlands, and I'm having fun. But if I'm when I go back to playing Disney, I know I'll not be having fun. Even though it's trying to do the same thing. Whatever. Ugh.
So that is up to you, Bungie. We will not figure it out for you, because we have limited time, and we're not paid.
So, yeah. Destiny. I think that's enough of that game.
Ugh. It is your destiny.
I'm so glad. So glad I don't have to, like, slog through that. It's just like, I just don't understand that. It's like, just go play something else. Like,
well, it's like, I think what it was, like, I had an epiphany when I was like, saw you get your 3 ghost shells of like, I really want it, but I don't need it. And then like, I just started thinking about like the few things in the game I don't have, because it's like the only things I don't have. Well, okay, there's like things I don't have, and there's things I have that I haven't gotten that I could get, because like all the exotic weapons I could get, that's so like whatever, that's not a thing. And then it's like all I need that I don't have, or I don't. Well, I need to stop saying that. All I don't have, I don't need, is the Child Shader. And the year one Crota raid class item for the Warlock. And that's it. It's like, I didn't even need that. And it's like, I just keep thinking back to that. Like, you didn't need a second, you didn't need another crap. You don't need those exotic weapons because it's whatever. FOM, you're not going to use them anyway because you always use your other. You know you like I know you. And we know that you're not going to use those weapons when you're played because they don't fit your playstyle. So just let it go, man. Just let it go. And I'm like, yeah.
But he
yeah,
won't.
Voice in my head. But you got some won't. Good points there. So, 320! Yeah! 320!
it's just like, I don't know.
I gotta get 320. I don't know what it is. I just gotta get there. Gamer's not there yet. Star's not there yet. I can beat him. I can beat him. And then it'll fill me with happiness for a short time. And I can be like, F this game. And I never F'd like in the first place. I'm F'ing done. F this game. Year 3. I'm done. Never coming back. And just mic drop it. Like, yeah. It's like a Destiny.
Except for when he does go back. Because it's Tekken.
He was asking
and
for a reverse intervention. Possibly. Before we start, or actually, in possibly unreleased recording from earlier.
It's also the year Mass Effect Andromeda. If it doesn't get delayed, so yeah. It's like, you know, my loyalties very clearly state I must not side with anything that's not Mass Effect. So like, if it comes to it, you know, I'm not choosing the Destiny ship.
We'll see. Because he'll be in love with Mass Effect for a while, but then it'll start to call him back, and he's like, you know, Destiny wasn't that bad. You know, maybe I could, And then next thing you know, next podcast, guys, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm stuck in this stupid game again. I don't know why. I keep doing this. I hate this game, but I'm still playing it. I don't know. It's like, Tekken, just stop. Just stop doing it to yourself.
I'll be like, man, this freedom I'm feeling, it feels so great. I'm never going back. Next game up. Backlog beatdown time.
That's good. That's going to be an interesting time, like when Mass Effect comes out. What is it just going to become a really schizo Tekken that we have? It's just like, you know, bouncing back between the two.
It's going to be full broken. Yeah, he's just going to be, I don't even know. He's just going to be broken. And I don't know, man. I don't know.
Because, yes, so like, loyal listeners, you can go back 100, 150 episodes maybe. All of them will have Mass Effect, and I'll be like, oh yeah, it's okay, still playing the multiplayer, and doing stuff, and get open my packs, and go find my banner.
As a matter of fact, his playstyle with Destiny was very similar to his multiplayer with Mass Effect, because he was always doing the packs and money on stuff. It was like ridiculous.
Hey,
so maybe that's
over 5,000 months of light, saving that stuff.
So maybe that's what the issue was. Like, since there was no Mass Effect for him to play, he latched on to Destiny because it was like, he's just like, okay, this is it. I have to just do this because there's no Mass Effect for me to have right now. So it's the only thing I got. So maybe that's what it was. And he just got stuck because there was no Mass Effect.
We'll see. I think that's going to be an interesting time. Once Andromeda is out, and you know, we don't even... It doesn't even need to have multiplayer, because of those 150-some episodes, there are also ones where it's just all single-player. It's like, okay, now I'm doing this FemShep, and the Paragon FemShep, and the Renegade FemShep.
They do, like, every single class, every single gender, every single, like, each of them is, like, Renegade or Paragon. It's like, that seems, like, unnecessary, but okay.
And there was
cool.
The oddly specific ones where, like, it's most, like, something with a heart of gold, and, like, mostly... good stuff.
I know,
also a jerk.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But whatever keeps you sane, I guess. You gotta do.
That's gonna be a fun time. oh man, if there's import stuff, then Scott finishes trilogy playthroughs.
That'd be insane. That'd be insane.
Do that because
I would put everything on hold and just like it would be all Mass Effect like for the theater. That'd be insane.
Is the trilogy on the current gen systems or
no? It's not.
No, but there, you know, there are ways they could do it if they wanted to.
They won't, because then they can't get extra money out of it.
Yeah, I guess they could resell them.
It's like, hey guys, this is totally not a re-release to cash in on the fact that there's a new Mass Effect coming out, but here's this re-release of all three games separately.
Quadruple dip.
Hey, I gotta say, I'm running, I'm batting 1,000. No double dips yet. This current gen of like PC console BS like there was last time.
Hasn't been anything for you to do that with, so.
I mean, unless you count GTA 5. Because, like, you know, I don't think I bought any remasters yet. Did I? I don't think so.
You did? Didn't you just buy, like, GTA 5, like, recently?
That was, like, it was cheap. It was whatever. Oh, wait, it's a long story. I'm doing, like, what I did on PS3, it's like, I buy a digital copy, so I don't have to worry about playing a disc in, because, like, you know, whatever, that's convenience. Exactly. I never had to do that ever again. It's free. Super free.
Dear God. I have no idea how you justify these things to yourself. I just don't know.
And then, like, that was the one. It's like, I need to play, like, one game and be like, oh, this isn't that much better than PS3 edition. So then, and then, you know, like, any other game, it's like, not gonna double dip like that, so.
I guess it's a good thing Street Fighter V is, like, exclusive to one console this gen, then. That one time you bought, like, every edition of that? Yeah. Good times. Good times.
I guess it's time to move on. Who wants to go next?
Actually, I was reminded by this that you have still not played The Last of Us single player DLC, right?
Nope.
Go play that.
I can do that actually because I got a thing down, Trav Nicole, where it's like every week it's like since I'm no longer Destiny
shackled.
So I'll like streaming on the weekend and then Tuesday fun time of whatever I want to play because now F and Destiny, go F yourself Destiny.
Oh my.
And then, I guess until raid time, then I'll suffer. And then, Wednesday stuff.
Doesn't make sense.
Hey, infusion material, like all that sweet tower gear and faction gear that I like, I can use up with that raid armor. Totally have the use for it.
It just feels so good to be able to be like, no guys, I'm not raiding because I'm actually playing something I enjoy because why am I torturing myself for nonsense? And it's just, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling. You should try it sometime.
What is this thing that you've been playing that you enjoy?
What?
What is this thing that you've been playing that you enjoy?
Oh, Trails of Cold Steel. I don't remember the title's like of or not, but yeah. I mean, because like I got it for the Vita. I talked about it like briefly last week, but it's like I think part of it is because it's like it has like some Persona 4-esque mechanics to it, which is probably why I kind of latched onto it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. And it's also a tactical RPG, so there's not like a lot of those around, so that was good too. I've gotten to the point in the story where it actually caught up to where the prologue was, because at the beginning of the game it starts you off at like in the middle of this battle where they're trying to stop the railguns from like killing these thousands of people or whatever. So, but it cuts off like right before they're fired. So you don't know what happens because it like flashes back to like, I think it's 5 months in the past or something like that. So you kind of like do the day to day of of their lives and doing like the school sessions and the free times and like link or like, you know, building up those links with your classmates and stuff like that. So it's like you go through that for 5 months and then the story catches back up to where it was. And then you kind of like play through that and see how everything plays out. So I've gotten past that part now. So now it's like all current stuff going on and everything. So it's, this game is, like, really long, though, because, I mean...
You just played a 5-month flashback, so...
Basically. Yeah. So, yeah. It's like, we just now got to current stuff after 65 hours, so it's like, yay! No end in sight, because, yay! So it's kind of, like, a good thing that the game is, like, good, because otherwise it's like, okay, guys, This is taking way too long. So I actually don't know how long the game is, but I'm in chapter 6 now, and I think I'm like hitting close to 70 hours now. But it's a long game. So you need the time to invest in it if you're going to play it, because otherwise you will never finish it. And yeah, you don't want that to happen. So. But, yeah, so basically, characters right now are, like, all split up again for their field studies that they're doing, but there's, like, tensions a-brewing because the noble factions and the reformist factions are, like, super clashing right now because of that whole incident that the flashback led up to kind of thing. So it's just, like, everything's all getting shenanigan-y right now, and the kids are trying to figure out what's going on and stuff, so... It's fun times. Let's see here. I don't remember the stuff I talked about last time when I talked about it. So I don't know, but stuff is happening and I'm playing the game and I'm enjoying it. So that's good. Now the problem is I have until like Friday to finish it because the paper jam comes out on Friday and then Explorers comes out Tuesday after that. So, and then Cyber Sleuth comes out the week after that. And I'm like, okay, so I'm on a very tight deadline to finish this game. And it's like, I'm already hitting 70 hours and it doesn't seem like it's going to end. So I'm concerned because I'm like, okay, I need to figure out a way to play all these things. And I don't know if I can juggle all of them. Although Paper Jam shouldn't be too long though, so. That should be okay. And then Explorers is more or less Crystal Chronicles, so I can kind of play that like I played Monster Hunter, and it should be okay. So, maybe. And then we have until April, until Dark Souls comes out, and then I'm doomed. And then So, yeah. So we shall see.
Oh, it's so great to be in a new year with games to look forward to. Yes! That are actually in the calendar year, and not just like, next year. It's like, oh yeah, it's coming out, yeah.
I know, I'm so excited for this year, it's not even funny. It's like, ridiculous. Although, I also have so many games coming out this year, I'm concerned that I might not have time to play them all, because I only have so many consoles, and they're all on the same console, so it's like, how does this work, man? Do I just like, do what Tropical was doing and play to like save points and be like, all right, next game, and then like play it to a save point and then like, all right, next game, and then yeah, that might drive me crazy actually. I don't know if I can do that. So we'll see. So that's two more new games by the next podcast then. So yay guys. Yay. But that's all I've been playing though, so.
Alright, well, not only did I play a game, I also finished a game, so. Oh yeah, score another one for Tekken. That's three on the board. Anybody keeping score? Three for Tekken?
No one's
going for RPG apparently, because he's in finishing, and then we'll see what
goes with that. Well, I can't. Okay, it's not my fault. It's not my fault, Tekken. It's not my fault. You're playing short games, and I went into this game
hours. So. Oh, no excuses. No excuses.
It's not my fault.
So yeah. Game of Thrones game. Telltale. Man. Effin' man. Like, whew. I haven't heard a lot of buzz about this game, and I'm surprised because there is a lot of amazingness. On the Handmaiden chapters, when you're playing Mira, like you basically go between Marjorie and Cersei the Queen, and it's like you don't even have any like super intimidating boss fights or anything. It's just like the looks they give you and like the things they say is just like, she bad. It's just really weird. It's like,
But Telltale games never really had boss fights, did they? Why would you? That's not.
I'm just saying, from like a traditional gaming standpoint of like, some like super crazy monster enemy, and then it's like you just got these like ladies shooting daggers at you and like saying, shooting barbs off of like, ooh, man, I don't mess with them. It's like super. Super weird. Super weird how they like just like nailed of like the intimidation factor there. It's just like, ooh, man. Just killing a room there. So good. And it's like that was awesome. That was like one of my favorite chapters, was just being a handmaiden to all like the inner workings in King's Landing. It's just like everybody's got their daggers out, don't know who to trust. It's great. And like the stuff goes down and it's like, I thought I could trust you. And it's like, but you were that all along? No. And just the drama and the politicalness, just.
I mean, I'm not.
It was amazing. It was fantastic. I loved it. It was delicious.
As like a small aside, apparently my bartender now wants me to watch Game of Thrones. Because he's like, well, now we've done with Star Wars. It's time. I was like, no, stop doing what you're doing right now. Just stop doing what you're doing right now. It's like, it's too much. It's too much, man. It's too much.
I actually, like, never seen the TV show. So, like, playing the game is, like, my only what's that word called? Exposure to this.
Exposure?
So, besides Comic Book Girl 19 videos on YouTube, which are awesome, but man,
I've only seen two episodes, and I'm like, yeah, I'm so confused right now, and like, I can only, because isn't there like 5 seasons of this thing right now? And it's like,
I have no idea.
Oh, because it's like, that's a lot longer than me watching 6 movies, because they're all like an hour and some change long or something. So it's like, yeah, watch these 90 episodes of an hour. Nah, brah.
But it does the thing where that I hate in games that are like character or like story based or whatever, where it's like Call of Duty style, where it's like you see the perspective of that character, but there's multiple protagonists and multiple characters. But then this game, I mean GTA 5 does that as well, but it did it to like a good extent. But like this is just like, this one just like knocks it out of the park, because like you see the conflict from like multiple angles, and just like the way. Like, since it's a class-based society, it's like, you know, peasants, nobles, royalty, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, you get to interact with, like, such a slice of people throughout the kingdom and, like, throughout, like, the social strata. It's, like, so good on that level. And then, like, when you see it from different angles and, like, it deals with, like, everybody from, like, one house, because you're all either aligned with or you're from I can't even remember the name. The Foresters. So the Foresters, and it's like it shows their struggle in this whole craziness in Westerosness. Man, it is, and I there's something I want to say, but I don't want to say to spoil it. But it does like this one thing that like very few games do in modern times I've seen done, and it just like absolutely nails it. And this game's like a modern classic. I don't care how you feel about Telltale. Like, you need to play this game, because like even the ending of the first episode is just like. Like, you never see it coming, and, like, they do something, like, so good.
Wow, but then they do.
I'm not going to say what they did. But then they, like, even top that, because they, as they're building these characters up, there's a part that happens later on that, like, because this game is the way it is with, like, the multiple protagonists, like, Telltale can do something they haven't done before with their game, and it, like, is such a, like, it's, like, such a punch-to-the-face choice they have to make at one of the episodes. It's like, do I choose this person or this person? And then the dynamic of, because... it's a choice between two playable characters, so it's like your relationship with that character, like how you feel towards them. It's like, you know, it's one of those. Oh, well, I don't know. It's like it's like not just an NPC. It's like, wait, that's my dude. That's my other dude.
Are they though? Because I mean, I feel like they're all terrible people. Because like the episodes I did see when I was like, because I was watching it with my friends who are like big fans of the show or whatever, and then because like by the end of like the episode I did watch, I was like, so basically we're watching a show about a bunch of horrible people who hate a bunch of other horrible people, so who am I supposed to be rooting for here? So it's like, I think that there really is no situation where it's like,
actually,
okay.
It's funny you say that, because this game, it like, I always try to play like the paragonal, lawful, justice upholding person, and like that is like, you cannot play that in this game. Like, there's like every, like, there's so many times in this game where I felt it was very much either against me or it would just like smite me down and be like, you know, this is putting me in my place, because it puts you in like these really bad situations of, not bad situations, but like it, there's multiple times where it's like you can see the gears in motion and like the dominoes building, and like you're trying to like craft your choices to like go a certain way, and something either happens to where it's like, I feel like I don't know, I just feel like the developers were like against the players in this one, where it's just like you have your idea of like what you're trying to do, and like you're starting to set things up, and then it's just like bam, and like something happens.
Nope.
And it's like, no, and then like there's like this deus machina at like the end of one of the episodes, and like, and you're like, oh come on, it's just, it's like, and it's not just like it's like you know, an actual good use of it, as opposed to another game I'm not gonna say. And it's just like, man, effing Telltale, like, go F yourselves. And then you like have the choice at the end, episode 5, there's 6 episodes, so it's episode before the final episode, and it's like, are you effing serious? Like,
yes,
how can you do that to me? You're effing evil, Telltale. It's like the Telltale magic was just like 10 out of 10, this, like, the entire ride in this one. Like, I wanted to, like, just start from the beginning and play through again, just because there are so many parts where it seems like the story is, like, dovetailing, and it's, like, there's choices that could, like, just, like, you don't know what's going to happen, and then, like, you try to do stuff, and then stuff happens, and it's like, it felt like it was very informed from, like, the season 2 work they did of just, like, you know, stuff is going to, like, go beyond, like, you have to, like, look beyond, like, where you're at in the game of just, like, oh, blah, 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 this is a good choice, this is a bad choice. It's like, no, dude, this is, like, how does this affect, like, how does this affect Lord? How does this affect your brother that's, like, islands over that you probably don't even get to, like, play with if you, like, don't even send that dude to go help him? How does this affect effing, the the handmaiden lady? How does this affect effing, there are so many, like, reverberating consequences, like, every choice is just, like, you feel them, like, so much closer, and then, like, after you get to the end, and, like, they do this awesome montage of your choices where the, like, the way stuff goes down, like, the, like, watercolor style of this, like, book is, like, your choices, and it's, like, being read by, like, all the Game of Thrones characters, like, of, like, how they felt about your the person that you were when you interacted with them, like, they're talking about you, and then, like, it's, like, talking about stuff as it's happening, and it says, like, you know, blah, 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 percent of people chose this, blah, 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 and it'll, like, say something about that scene or event, and, like, show the choice, and it's just really well done on that part. It's just, like, that was, like, the best, like, telltale, like, end sequence of a game ever, and I was just, like, that's good. And then, like, at the end, it shows you, like, the main super awesome choices, or not super, super important choices, and it's, like, you got a blah, 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 and, like, for me, it was, like, 20.1% fiery passion, I guess, because it's, like, even though I kept getting, like, my ass handed to me for, like, trying to, like, uphold justice in this, like, pit
that's
of vipers.
That was your first mistake. That was your first mistake.
Like, I never let it stop me. I was like, I'm not going to lose my honor. I'm going to uphold justice. Like, no, don't, you can't break me. And it's just, there are so many despicable characters in this game. It's just like, man, it's just evil. Like, King's Landing. It's like, everybody is just super, like, don't trust anybody. And just, the daggers are out.
Do you blame them? I mean, everyone is trying to stab each other in the back. So it's like, you can't.
And then, like, one of the, like, people that you're put against on the other part of the map or another area is just like, they're cheating. Like, it's like, come on. They're like, do you have no honor? Do you have no honor? It's like, where is your honor? It's like, ah, like, that's all I kept saying to them. Cause it's like, oh, that's the other thing. It's like, there's like time in this game where it's like some of the dialogue choices I didn't like. So I just would be like the ellipsis, which I never really do in a Telltale game. So I'd be like, I'm not going to say anything. And like push triangle. It's like, I don't even know what to say here. It's like, it just caught me off guard sometimes. It's just like, yeah, I don't know how they're going to react to that. I think that's bad. That's bad. That's bad. I'm not going to say anything. And then it was so funny because, yeah, it's like one time he got me in trouble and I was like, dang it. So it's like, you can't
always take that road Tekken. Sometimes you gotta commit to a path.
There's this part where, like, because there's this part when you're in Essos and you're in, like, a slave pit trying to, like, or, like, he just had freed the slaves in Essos from, like, their masters, and they're, like, they're, like, pit fighters, and they like to kill and, like, fight. And so it's, like, clearly, you know, just as upholding Paragon comes into town, this thing is gonna clash here. And so it's, like, one option was, like, I don't remember what it was, but it's, like, none of the options were, like, because, like, you're trying to, like, get them to fight for you, and it's like, yeah, these are all either cheesy, or I don't think I should say that, because kind of lying, and I didn't say anything, and then they called me on it, and it's like, ooh, well, this is going to be even harder to pull than win them over, but I won them over, so it's like, yeah, but, just a really good game. It's just really good Telltale stuff, and thoroughly enjoyed it, and gets my seal of approval, because, man, I thought after flipping, you know, I gotta say, I take back what I said about Telltale being spread-tooth in, because, like, you know, after playing Tales of the Borderlands, and that was, like, home run, this was, like, even better, because it's a completely different thing. It's not, like, action comedy. It's just back to being, like, super drama, character-driven, and, like, man, just, I gotta go back and replay it. There's this whole, that's the other thing, is I did, I don't know, like, when they implemented this, but, like, when you go to, like, replay an episode that you already play, you can actually pick, like, they give you, like, 6 chapters of that episode, and they're like, okay, well, you can rewind to this point, and anything behind it will be saved, that, like, what you already did, and then anything forward, you're gonna lose progress and have to redo it. And so in the final episode, I did, like, one of those, and I had an Until Dawn moment, because I was like, I did something, and, like, I immediately regret it. I was like, no, I was scared. I did this on stream, because I wasn't screaming at the TV, but I was like, dude, it's so emotionally impacted me, that I was like, I unmuted myself on the stream, and I was like, okay, no. I was like, that's not going down like that. I'm going to redo that. And just like, you just go and watch it. And like, yeah, because it's like, I did something I completely regretted. And I was like, what did I just do? Now! And just...
Now I kind of want to play these games, so it's like...
So I go back.
I'm curious.
So I go back, but then I go back, and I try to, like, right the wrong, and something even worse happened.
It worse.
And I was like, I was just like, kowtow,
that's about right.
Peppers, rah, I just, yeah, it got me. Game of Thrones, man, this one got me. Like, just, it got me right in the part, right, just right in my cuckles of my heart, just like season two of watching Dig. And
You're too weak. You can't play Game. You're far too weak for that.
It's just, man, it was so good, like, all the way through. And, like, the progression of the character, man, it's a masterwork of a modern classic. And you just gotta check it out. But, yeah, Game of Thrones, I just can't say enough good things about it, just the whole way through. And after I got to the end, I was like, dude, I'm totally playing this again. So I might have Mass Effect syndrome with this game, because there's so many parts where it's like, well, if you do this and you do this, and then, like, you get to the end, and there's an effing epilogue, and you can, like, see what your stuff does, like in the season two of, like, Walking Dead, of like, it's like, it goes beyond that season of like, oh, what did I do? Like, what have I done? But like, well, it wasn't like that for me in like this game, though, because I felt like I did the right things, except for that first time I did things, even though the second time it was worse, whatever, gonna live with it. Anyway, I'm gonna copy my save so I can have one of each of those, like the terrible thing that was terrible, or the better thing that was even worse. So I can have one of those when season two for this comes out, and I cannot effing wait, because I'm effing pumped, because, man, it's like, that epilogue was so good, and just Iron from Ice, the Norseman members, mother effers, so yeah, that was, what else did I play? And then on the Vita front, because I dropped Sonic, and Sonic Transforming Racing, whatever. Sega All-Star Racing Transformed, or whatever it's called, that game, I dropped that. So I've been playing Final Fantasy IV with the...
No!
That one, because my 3DS likes to have a broken A button right now, so I don't want to buy another one, so it's whatever. And, yeah, I'm at the part where... what's that dude's name?
Kane? Cecil? Golbez? Tella?
Golbez, that guy.
Running out of names here.
when the Golbez dude is sending the, cause you just met the monk dude, but then you just crashed the ship, and then he woke up in the mage village where you got the last crystal, but when the game takes place, and like you're at the Red Wings after they take the crystal from them, and then you go back there, and they're like, go away, murderer, meh, and they give you Palm and Forum, and you gotta go and do something.
Oh,
I forgot.
It's
it was hilarious. Take them to the mountain to become the Paladin thingy, to get the white magic, and, you know, not be a Dark Knight anymore.
Paladin.
So.
Paladin, this guy.
Doing that.
I wasn't sure what I heard. So.
Yeah, he said Paladin. It's Paladin. He
whatever.
He said it wrong.
So yeah, doing that. And it's a fun time. Nice. I completely forgot it was a five member party system, and that was great. That was a fun time when you had like five people and you're just like rolling through. It's like, oh man.
Except you can't get used to any of them, because they're like, LOL, this character's not leaving the party, because...
Yeah, it's weird. Like, yeah, there's all these pictures like, blah, blah, blah is joining the party. Blah, blah, blah is left the party. It's like, ah, oh, whatever.
It happens a lot. A lot.
Sometimes. And, yeah, we'll see if I can actually finish it this time. What else was I playing besides that? Oh, Need for Speed. So I played that a bit. That game. It's weird. I don't know. I went back to it, and then all of a sudden I felt like I was doing terrible. I don't know what it was. Like, I left it, and I was, like, just destroying it, and I picked it back up, and I was, like, having a hard time, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't have played Borderlands the week after. My skill just, like, went, or, like, not picked it up, like, the week after, and then, like, had my skill go down, and just, yeah, just kind of getting destroyed, so... We'll see. I got two decent cars, and I got a car that was like 250 horsepower that you just win a specific event with, but I'm going to wait until I'm completely done before I sell it to get another awesome car, since it's taking up one of my slots. And I guess there's like some new update where it's like, it gives you, I think, 20, 24, 25, whatever, summary I just got, it's like you, it gives you, kind of like the Blacklist style of Need for Speed Most Wanted, there's like someone comes to town, and you kind of got to like go through these series of races to fight, or fight them, to race them, and so I did one of those, and I'm going to climb the board on that, and see how far I get. But yeah, Need for Speed, still amazing looking, fast my engine, goodness. And that is all I've been playing.
Or is it?
It's all I've been playing.
Oh. Okay.
Probably.
Yeah, I saw the Sands of Time thing. That's funny. So, I'm not really going to say too much about my backlog, because I don't know if this is going to stick or not, but I'm trying a new thing, where if you go into big picture mode on Steam, and you go to your library, the first screen it shows isn't like your library like you have in window mode. It's a resume and explore category. And it basically shows like your most recent games that you've played, games that your friends are playing, and then at the bottom it's like start something new. And it'll be made up of games that you recently purchased or games that you installed but haven't played yet and things like that. And so I looked at that, I was like, huh. This would be a good way, maybe, to get through some of the games that I have on here. And there's like 190-something of them.
Oh my.
And like, I have more indie games, I think, on PC than I have on consoles. So it felt like this could work. Like, these tend to be shorter games. So I started playing the one game that I played, or that I bought during this last Steam sale. It's called Basket Bell. And the description was something like, oh, I wanted to take the mechanics of a basketball game and sort of apply them to other types of scenarios. And so it's like, it's a really interesting story-driven game in which the main mechanic is like dribbling past defenders and shooting a basketball into a hoop. But it's all sort of 2D... not really side-scrolling. So, you know, if I'm going to describe it, like, it starts off, and it's sort of a clever tutorial-type section where it's, like, a father is teaching his son how to dribble. And so it's, like, and then it's just, like, oh, you push the right key to go right and push the left key to go left, and you're sort of, like, running suicides. And then it's, like, oh, now, you know, do a pump fake. And then it's just, like, hold up. And then you hold up. And then it's, like, yeah. And then, you know, to shoot, you just push X. And release at the highest point. I was like, okay, so now you've done it. And then it immediately switches to you're playing one-on-one against like a sort of amorphous blob. And you have to, like each, you, so like there's lots of levels where you're playing against this amorphous blob, but it's sort of different every time. So this first time it's just sort of a short looking thing, but taller than you. So what you gotta do is like, you gotta fake it out and then dribble beneath it. And then, you know, take it to the hole. And then later there are ones where it's like, oh, now it has these sort of tentacle appendages and they sort of shoot up at different rhythms. And so you gotta, you know, shoot the ball at the right time. And then there are sections where it's like, it'll be sort of a environmental platform puzzle part where it's like, okay, I have to stand on this thing here. So like, you can jump without the ball, but if you have the ball, then you can only do a jump shot. So it would be things like, oh, I have to figure out how do I get to this platform here so that it lowers this sort of barrier that's in front of the hoop. And then so I can, you know, shoot into the basket and proceed to the next section of this. And it's just like all these different weird mechanics that involve basketball. But it's like, oh, it's pretty neat. So that's, I'm on the board. I finished that game. It was very short.
Yeah.
Basketball. And it was like really cheap during the sale too. So I imagine it's still pretty cheap for a game anyway. And yeah, I was like, oh, that was really neat. I really,
you guys are
that.
Cheating. I'm going to just start playing a bunch of short games because it's like, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Not even fair because you're both cheating. You're both cheating.
So the other game that I started because of this suggestion, well, I started another one, Legacy of Kain: Soul Reaver, and it just does not run on Windows 10. And I was just like, oh, well, that sucks. So put that on the back burner while I figure out how to get to run. The other one I started with, Knit Underground, which is, what is it? I guess it's like splunking.
That game is weird. I played it on Vita, and it's just like, what is going on? It's like you're exploring, and it's like 2D, but it doesn't feel like it ever really escalates beyond that to me. Like when I was playing, I was just like, where are the enemies? What's the main conflict? What's going on? I just like kept going from screen to screen of like, what am I looking for? Or whatever, and I got bored and stopped playing.
It's something like that, except it's not a roguelike. So I guess there's just this one map probably, and you're going through this labyrinth cave where you can only jump a certain height. You have no double jump or anything, so you have to find the places you can go. The only one like special traversal there's two actually. One of them is you can climb walls, so any vertical surface you can just climb up it. But then if it becomes like a slope, then you can't get past that part where it slopes like outward towards where you are. You can't like jump out and then get on top of the platform. So only vertical surfaces. And then the other special move you have is occasionally there'll be these different color sparks, and each one. I should say that this is only chapter one. There's some indication that there's other abilities beyond chapter one, but in chapter one, the sparks, when you grab them, you have limited abilities to do things like a yellow spark. If you push A, you'll just shoot straight up into the air until you hit a barrier. Now, a blue spark will shoot you to horizontally until you hit a barrier. And there was like a different spark that you actually can control the direction that you go. And, yeah, you're just traversing around this cavern, and I reached a point, I guess I shouldn't say exactly what the story is about, but you play this girl who does not have amnesia, and she knows who she is, and she's looking to visit the fairies, and on the way, there are these sort of totem/doors, and people standing in front of them saying, like, yeah, if you do this thing for me, then you can pass, I'll open this door for you, and they usually want you to find something or another, so you just go back in the other direction and find another direction you can go, another cave you can explore, go in there, find all the stuff, come back and open that door, and you continue on to the next one. So far, it's like, it's okay. It's not what I expected. I actually thought, well, the graphically, it's very not what I expected. It's much more, not in a bad way, but it's more amateurish than I expected it to look. Like the logo. And this game is on, I think it's on PS3 also, right? It's just like, it looks really...
Yeah, it is because it's cross-save.
Yeah. So I thought it would look different, but it's actually very pixel art style. And it's like, that is not what I expected at all. And then like the weird thing is like the backgrounds, they used it's like actual photographs of leaves and stuff. And they're just all moving. It's, yeah. So I'm trying to get through that, finished chapter one, and they included the demo as well, because I guess there's some narrative in the demo. I was like, yeah, so it didn't feel right to just say that story didn't exist, so we just added it in. I guess most of my time this week was still Heroes of the Storm, still playing a lot of that.
He can never beat that game.
I can never beat that game.
So, ha ha!
I'm trying to figure out what my next goal is. You know, there's two possibilities. Either I'm going to try to go for another vanity skin, like a master skin on another character, but there's only one character that I think the master skin looks really cool on that I have and that I care about. Or the other possibility is there's a character, Rexar, who I very rarely see anyone play, and it's like, so I'm going to try to get that character and play them. And Rexar's special, like, Rexar is a tank, but not him himself. He has a pet bear, so you're controlling sort of two separate characters at the same time. And the bear is the tank, and Rexar is a ranged fighter.
It's like a beastmaster. Like,
yeah, kind of. So like, I rarely see the character at all, so I'm going to try to... I guess that always attracts me, characters that it doesn't seem like anyone else is playing, so... but I I had one game that I thought was just endlessly entertaining for me. So they've updated the loading screens before the game. Essentially what they added is a little icon that shows who is in a party. And that sort of matters because in the new matchmaking system, like they're trying to go for matches of people with much closer skill levels. And so they added this icon to show who's in a party so that you know, it's like, okay, the assumption is if you're in a party, those people in the party are going to be able to communicate better than just like five random people. And so what they do is like that groups that have parties in them are in the matchmaking algorithm. They're assuming that they're more skilled. So they're going to have like the skill ranking of each individual in that group is probably lower than the group that's made up of all randoms. But they will make up for it because they can communicate better. Because it's a team game.
In theory, anyway.
In theory, yeah. And there was this one game. So I chose an Abathur, who I've spoken about a few times on the show. Basically, it's the character who augments other characters and doesn't really go out and fight on his own. And my favorite thing, can lay mines. And I started this game, and I looked at the other team's roster, and I was like, oh, they have an Abathur too. And he's in a party with a, I think it's like another support character who can do, or no, a range specialist, basically able to stop towers and little minions from attacking and do all these poison things and stuff. And I was like, they're in a party. And at some point in the game, very early on, I suddenly decided that, you know what? I am going to prove that I am the better Abathur here. yeah, that's how it went. And it was this map where I feel pretty confident with Abathur on this map because I like to play the mine build. So I have lots of mines, and I upgrade their damage, and I upgrade how many I can put, the damage that they do, and also they cause slow. So when the enemy runs through them, not only are they damaged and poisoned more, they slow down, and they can't run as fast. Which I usually do so that my teammates can kill them easier if they're trying to run away. But, that's not what happened this time. This time, it was really crazy. On both teams, there was a character, Nova, who's like a cloaked, basically, she's always cloaked. She's a sniper, essentially. And only uncloaks when she gets hit by an attack, or she starts attacking. And the reason this map is really good for the mines approach is, like, there's one spot on the map where you have to go in order to turn in these coins for the objective, and they make it really easy to win the match that way. And so I always put lots and lots of mines near that spot, or on the way to that spot, so that when the enemy comes through, like, they, in general, always have to go through it. And I've seen it play out in lots of different ways. Basically, either people will start, most of the time people get really paranoid, so they'll run through a few mines, and be like, oh shoot, there's going to be mines here. And so they start using, like, they just start firing randomly into the areas where they think there are mines, using up their special skill shots so they don't run through all these mines. And I guess that was the other thing I noticed was, like, the other Abathur, he was placing mines in what I consider the typical way. Most people just put a few mines in lots of different places, you know, just to keep an eye on those specific spots on the map. Whereas I play mines to, like, actually wreck people. And so I'll put, like, huge clusters of, like, 10 or 13 mines in one place and just wait for people to run through. And it doesn't kill most characters. Most characters will be, like, they'll run halfway through and be like, oh no, I lost, you know, 60% of my health. I better run back. And a lot of times in this match, they ran back through other mines. And I was like, oh, this is so funny. But, yes, on to the rival Abathur domination. I realized that if I, my ultimate skill, what I did is I could make, like, clones of my teammates, which are more powerful than the originals. And I kept cloning, Nova because she's cloaked. I could just, like, walk right into their base undetected. I was just like, I don't think this ever happens. Like, usually you feel pretty safe as an Abathur. You just sort of sit in the base and it's like, oh, there's towers all around me. No one's going to come in here and kill me. It's really when the towers come down that I have to worry. So the towers were still up and everything. And I was just like, I would take the Nova. I was like, wow, our Nova's really good at getting you know, pretty inside the base. And so I would clone them, and then, like, run inside the base looking for their Apether. And I killed him, like, he must have felt so trolled. I killed him, like, 3 or 4 times. Just out of the blue, he's just standing there, minding his own business. And so, like, ah, I'm sniped twice, and I'm dead. It was so fun. But yeah, like, it, I hit them so much. And they didn't get paranoid. Like, they just started doing weird things where, like, I started moving where the mines were. So every time someone ran through a minefield, I'd be like, okay, now I'm going to put it slightly closer to the objective. And they would, you know, slowly, carefully walk through and it's like, okay, there was nothing here. And then start running towards the objective. And then like, ah, it's like 60% of their health. Or other times, like one time their Nova just freaked out when she ran into the first few mines that she just deployed all of her skills and then died moments afterwards because the poison killed her. That was awesome. I'm trying to figure out, like, my problem right now is I'm trying to figure out how to record that match because I watched it in replay and I was like, oh, there's no automatic, like, follow a player's viewpoint. It's sort of, you have to become one of those shoutcasters and figure out where the action is happening, and you gotta follow it around. So I can't just, like, leave my computer and run the replay and have it record. I actually have to go and do something. So that was a good match, for me. Well, it was an entertaining match for me. This is sort of a question. So, Tekken, you play Street Fighter, right?
Yep.
Do you think that there are characters, like, when you lose, does your mind go to the game is sort of unbalanced and it's like, oh,
no,
obviously I lost no. there because it's like that character is the absolute counter to the
derp.
No. See,
I don't. It's always like, what did I do or what did I not do?
Yeah.
That was like getting me into those situations.
That's how I do it too. And I don't know, maybe it's, you know, I guess I'm not a Heroes of the Storm expert, but I have played like 300 hours of it. And it seems to me that a lot of people, they give up really early and easily. They look, it's like, oh, our team composition, just, there is no way for us to win against that team composition. And we're just going to lose. And it's like, I don't know if that's the case. I think when you come up with a weird combination, like, we have no tanks, everyone's an assassin, then you got to do different stuff. Like, you can't just play it as if you had tanks and then just be like, well, we lost because we had no tanks. It's like, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like, no, I think we played wrong, and that's why we lost. Because we had matches where we had, so there was an Abathur that wasn't me, and sometimes that can be kind of a disadvantage. Or, it's, you know, on the surface, it's like, oh, that's a disadvantage because you're going to have to fight over this objective, but there's only 4 of you here fighting 5 of them, and, you know, like, one guy can't come over. Avatar's not going to come over and capture the objective if he's needed. It's like, but he could do that. It's just usually he doesn't. So, you know, I feel like you have to design strategies around, like, your weirdness. Like, you're, okay, this team is weird. What is its strength? What's its weakness? But I don't know. That might be an interesting question to ask a bunch of people. How do you usually view it? Is it your fault or is it the developer's fault? Not making a balanced game. So yeah, that's really fun. But that's what I've been playing.
Okie dokie.
Moving on. RPG.
Yeah.
You know why we're here. We're here for Star Wars.
Why are you here for Star Wars? That's weird.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, because Aimless Podcast is usually about games, but this was just too weird. It was weird, right? Like, I don't know why. I mean, I guess it's not that weird, but my first reaction was like, how did you go so long without seeing any Star Wars? It's just
skill.
It's amazing. But no, that is no longer the case. So now you have seen.
Actually, I guess a follow up would be like, are any of your like close relatives, like your dad or your mom or your brother or something, Star Wars fans, or do they just like hate it? Did that just like rub off on you?
The only person I know that has watched it is my dad, but I mean, I hadn't seen it, so I just.
And he watched it when it was new, or
I have no idea.
Well, I like Tekken. Like, we are actually not old enough to have been alive when Star Wars came out. But like, when did you see it?
The first time I saw it was when I was in elementary school.
It was
on. And they showed us, they just like wheeled one of the thingies in the room. We're like, all right, movie time. And it was episode 4. And it was like, my most favorite of this. It was awesome. And I was like, oh man, that's the best thing ever. Yeah.
Wow. I think the first one I ever saw was actually Return of the Jedi. I think it was, I have to believe it was on TV, but I'm not really sure. But there's photographs.
Have they ever showed them on TV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I have VHS tapes of episode 4. Or, no, not VHS, Betamax tapes of episode 4 and 6.
Don't know
somewhere.
What that is.
And, yeah, I think I saw 6 very young, because there are photos of me with a, like, speeder bike and a scout trooper toy from a Christmas. And I was like, huh. So, and I remember liking those toys, so I think I knew the franchise already. I just didn't. In fact, like, I don't think I saw Empire until way, way later.
Yeah, I don't have good memories of Empire until, like, after, like, till, like, around the re-release of those, the original trilogy.
So I'm wondering, like, did...
Because I remember seeing Jedi a lot on TV, and then I just don't have really good memories of Empire, even though, like, everybody says it's their favorite.
Do you think grown-ups thought of, like, that one is too dark, maybe, and they just didn't show it to us kids?
Possibly.
Like, wow, that's very surprising that the first time you saw it was at school. To me, anyway.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been at school where they would show something.
Well, actually, the first time I saw Bad Boys was in school.
Oh, dear. I don't think
our
that
drama teacher was
for...
like, Will Smith is so good in this. Oh. I will always remember. She was just like, look at that. See, that is a real face. And I was like, okay.
I think the only movie, because I mean, I remember like in drum class watching like, what movie was it? Was it, it might have been American Beauty or something like that. It was, whatever it was, I'm pretty sure most of the movies I've ever watched in school have not been appropriate to be watching in school, but it's just like, sometimes I don't know.
I've seen a lot of movies in school. I had a lot of Disney back in the day.
Well, so basically, you know, went back and forth, and finally, RPG accepted Bartender's offer to watch the movies. And sort of background here, everyone wanted him to watch it in the order in which he would love it. By the way that Star Wars fans consider this, the extreme one is I knew the name of this at one point. Machete something 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, and skip 1 because people, I guess, really hate 1. But no, I was like, the reason I thought of this experiment actually was after Force Awakened, I saw this article. Some guy spent 2 years writing a thing about, or trying to prove that the prequels didn't suck, and actually proved that George Lucas was a genius.
Did he really prove it though? Is that like, can you like, like, can you?
Well, after reading the thing, which, yeah, it was like, yeah, this is very convincing. I do feel like he could have. So it was all about like how the structure of the 6 movie saga is genius in that like Phantom Menace not only parallels A New Hope, but it also parallels Return of the Jedi because it's all supposed to be like a ring composition. So the ending mirrors the beginning, and like the middle ones mirror each other, and then like episode 3 actually mirrors A New Hope more than it does Return of the Jedi, and I was just like, It was pretty convincing, but I feel like, okay, but you could have done this genius thing and made movies that people liked, and you failed on that part. So, you know, it doesn't change the fact that people didn't like these as much. But maybe that's because we saw it in a certain order. So I was like, RPG has not seen this, and he seems to be willing to watch them now. What would happen to someone who has no knowledge of the last ones and just watch them in the order that I think future generations might watch them in? It's like, how does that change someone's perception of them? So I guess first off, like, was this a waste of time? Did you like the movies?
I mean, they were more or less entertaining. Like, I mean, they're not, like, really, like, the kind of movies where I'd be like, oh, my gosh, guys, we have to go see this kind of thing. But it's, like, if it were just, like, my friends were like, yeah, let's go see this, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. It's like I'd sit through them. It's, like, it wouldn't be, like, an issue, I guess. But it's, like, it's not, like, something I would, like, go out of my way to go see kind of thing. Like, some people are all fanatical about it. But, I mean, yeah.
And I guess we're free to speculate. Is that because you saw 1 through 3 first?
Well, no, because, well, we'll get into that later, I guess, but I just, like, I think it's more of a, I guess, the type of movies they are, not so much as it being good or bad kind of thing. It's just, like, I'm not usually, like, big on sci-fi movies, so
there you go.
So it's like, it's one of those things, like, yeah, I'll watch them, like, if somebody, but it's not like I'll be like, yeah, I loved it, because this is also why I've never seen, like, Star Trek and stuff too, because I'm just like, eh, I'm kind of on the whole sci-fi stuff thing in space and all that stuff, so
Well, then I'm not really sure where to go from there.
But did I already ruin the experiment before it started?
Well, I mean, I guess it's just like... Well, okay, so most people say that the original trilogy was much better than the prequel trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel like that to you?
I actually somewhat disagree. Now, because, like, my bartender asked me about this when I gave him the movies back, and I was like, I probably hold an unpopular opinion in the sense that I thought the prequels are actually, like, better than the original ones, but there's a whole different reason, because it could just be, like, the time that I've seen them in, since it's, like, obviously the prequels are, like, technically better for, like, special effects and the choreography and stuff, because, like, it happened a lot later than the previous, or when the original, see, that gets confusing, because it's, like, they, the movies, the 4 through 6 ones, those, because they came out after them, and it's, like, in the time where they could do all these flashy things, and they had all these fight choreographers and people who were trained in various martial arts and crap to do this stuff, but it's, like, I don't know, it's, like, my thing is, with the prequels, like, I can understand where people say, like, the first one's bad, because, like, the acting is terrible in Phantom Menace. I mean, it's just why. I just don't even know how that got past anyone who was directing or whatever. I'm just like, I'm sorry, did you not see these people doing this? Like, what is happening? Because, like, the only consistently good actor in the group was the guy playing Obi-Wan, and I'm assuming he was the one for, like, all three of the prequels, since I think they kept up, like, yeah, the actors, so it's like he was, like, the only consistently good one in the group, because everybody else is just like, oh no, guys, there are troopers here, and I'm like, what? That is not how you don't. I don't know, man. I was like, I don't know. They just, no one told him how to emote or whatever was going on in there. Like, whoever was playing the queen, she was like the worst. The worst, like, in the entire series. Like, I was like, I'm sorry, but how did you even, like, who cast you? Who cast you? Because you are just awful. You are just awful. So it's like, because every scene she was in, she just seemed so dead inside. Maybe it was intentional. I don't know. It could have been intentional. And maybe I just missed the brilliance of her subdued acting skill or something. But I was just like, oh my God, you're quite possibly one of the worst actresses I've ever seen do anything ever. So good job on that, if that was your plan. So, but yeah. But I mean, like, overall, though, I think for me, I think part of it is, like, the prequel trilogies, they had, like a tighter, like, arc focus on for the story, because it's like, I'm assuming it was supposed to be about, like, the whole rise and fall of Anakin before they lead up to the whole the other movies that came out or whatever, but it's like I kind of prefer that to the 4 through 6 kind of seemed like they were kind of, like, all over the place because the war was going on or whatever. So it's like, I kind of like the more focused arc that they had going on in the prequels than the stuff that was going on in the not prequels. So, I don't know. It's, yeah, I don't know.
So, wait, the acting parlay, did that apply to all of them or just the first one?
Just the first. I mean, it got better over the series, but it's like the first one was just like, dear God. It's like, why? Why? So I don't, because it's like, I mean, in the second one, like the one guy, the kid that was playing the now adult Anakin was kind of hit or miss, but then he got much better. But it's probably like, because in the third one, he was just angry all the time, so he really didn't have to choose which emotion. So it's just like, constant anger. It's like, cool, cool, that works for you, because at least it's an emotion, because, yeah. But it's, because, I mean, overall, though, the acting in the 4 through 6 are better than, like, the acting overall in 1 through 3. But once again, that's because one of the movies doesn't even count as acting. So it's like they're already at a disadvantage because it's basically 2 versus 3 movies. But I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just because it could just be because from a technical standpoint, it was prettier to watch the first three or the prequel trilogy than it was to watch the 4 through 6. Maybe that's what it was. I just like flashing lights and I'm like, yay, there's so many lights going on kind of thing, and just like that took over my mind when I was watching it and then distracted me from everything else. But yeah, that.
Tekken, I know you have something to say about that.
Oh, I was just gonna say graphics horror, but you know.
Yeah, that's sort of interesting. Like, so this is different than I expected. Is but you know, science, like that's what happens. As far as like, so pure entertainment wise, you felt that just the technical aspects of the prequel were more entertaining than sort of like most people describe the original trilogy as more like more adventure based, I guess, and then like the prequels were more,
they were very action oriented, though the prequels were anyway.
Well, not action, like action, I think there's plenty of that in both, but it's like as far as
I don't know, because like I mean, the one thing I did prefer in the original movies to the prequels is that they, I mean, even though there was action, like during the action scenes for 4 through 6, though, it's like there was a reason behind, like they seem more like important than like in the prequels. It's kind of just like there's always something like going on for whatever reason, so it's like it didn't like, so there wasn't always like that level of significance, because like with 4 through 6 is like you didn't have nearly as many lightsaber battles as you did in, I think like episode 1 alone had more lightsaber battles than the entire 4 movies or something, that or the entire 3 movies that came out before it. But it's like they seem like they had more significance when there's like some kind of large scale action thing going on in 4 through 6, as opposed to the prequels where it's just like happening all the time. So
you like the lightsaber battles?
Yeah, I liked like one of them, and I think it was the one in the 3rd movie. And that was like the last one.
At the end?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So, like, man. It's a very astounding, somewhat, result we're getting out of this experiment. Overall, though, like, do you want to go see Force Awakens or, like, the Clone Wars now, or is it still more... Like, are you budged a little bit on that scale where it's like, now I'm more interested in The Force Awakens and other Star Wars stuff, or is it just still, like, it's all sci-fi stuff, so there's still sort of,
Well, I mean, I'm probably going to see it out of curiosity more so than, like, actual interest, because it's, like, one of those things where it's like, well, I've already seen these other ones now, so it's like, well... Now I should go ahead and just see what happens in the 7th one, I guess, because, like, to see what happens thing, so, I don't know. But I'm not...
Interesting.
I mean, yeah, so it's like more of, like, a curiosity thing than anything. Mm. It's not necessarily like I'm like, yeah, Star Wars, guys! I don't know how I lived my entire life without ever saying this, what is wrong with me kind of thing, so, yeah. But, I mean...
Oh, were there like, the parts where you were like watching, where you like finally got like a bunch of pop culture references, like, oh, this is that part people have been saying, for years of like, I finally get it now.
Well, there, that's funny, because it's like the it's a trap one thing, because I remember like Annihilator would always like, he would always like mention something on Twitter, and I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about whenever I've like said that. So I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So it's like, oh, you was referring to this, because it's like people, I'll inadvertently like say something, and then somebody would make like some random Star Wars reference, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about. So it's, yeah, so it's like, it is nice to at least have that, because like this is the same thing with the unlimited power thing, when like when it actually happened, I was like, oh, this is why Tekken's always doing that. So it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense, I guess. So yeah, it is nice to get like some references now, instead of like being completely in the dark. But people are like, yeah, don't you remember when that thing happened? I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, no, I don't remember when it happened, because I have no idea what you're talking about. So, you know, that. But yeah, I do have to say this though, like, R2-D2 is pretty much like the series MVP, because I feel like had he not been around, everyone would just be dead. Everyone would just be dead. Because it's like, because like, it seems like, I don't even know like how he even ends up in the right place like all the time, but it's like, it seems like he's always there and he's always like saving them like all the time. Because like, there are so many times, man, where some people should have just been dead. And it's just like, he's like, don't worry, guys. Don't worry, I'll solve this too, I guess, because, you know, what I do, it's what I do. Because it's like,
your shields are down.
It's like, don't worry, guys.
The end.
Because, like, there was, like, that moment, like, where I think, like, Anakin and, what's the chick's name? Padme? Yeah, when they were, like, in that factory, and, like, they both almost died, like, multiple times. But he's, like, he basically saved her, because she almost got melted, and that would have not been pleasant for the kiddies. So, it's just, like, he's just always around. He's, like, don't worry, guys. I'm here. Everybody just relax, because I got this. Because there's just been too many times, man. Too many times. Like, is he supposed to be just, like, why is he, like, even around, is my question. Is he just, like, the Deus Machina of Star Wars? Is that what he is? Is he, like, supposed to be someone's personal mechanic or something? Like, why?
Yeah, like, originally, they're made to be these sort of mechanics that go along with the ships and fix the ships and stuff. And then, because of this thing, and, like, robots have feelings and personalities and stuff in Star Wars.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that, too, because, like, Overwatch, I was like, I just feel like that seems like a terrible design for your robots, who you would likely have in very dangerous situations always, which they did. So it's just like, I was like, are they all, like, sentient? Because it's like, it feels like they're all, like, fearing for their lives and stuff, and I'm like, this seems like a poor design decision on everyone's part. Like, who thought this was a good idea? So, yeah.
Well, I mean, back in the day, the argument was Star Wars is not really sci-fi. Like, it happens in space, and there are spaceships and stuff.
It's
but
funny, because we had that argument on the podcast with Tiger Fox, and RPG hadn't seen it yet. sorry, RPG, would you like to weigh in? Do you think it's a romantic fantasy adventure? Or is it whatever I said at the time, I don't remember, sci-fi? Nah.
I'm pretty sure it's sci-fi.
It's opera.
I don't see how it wouldn't be sci-fi. Like, I would be hard-pressed to be convinced otherwise. Like, I don't see how it wouldn't be. This big sci-fi adventure thing.
I mean, back in the day, and I think that it still holds true, like, the difference between sci-fi and fantasy, and it's, like, really blurred now, because, I mean, the genre is called sci-fi fantasy now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But yeah, like, the difference it used to be is, like, in sci-fi, stuff is explained, and it's sort of, like, plausible. So, you know, the argument was always Star Trek and Star Wars, and in Star Trek, you know, you can actually look up, like, why the warp field works, how that's generated, and all that stuff. And in Star Wars, it's like,
it's magic.
They go to light speed. It's basically magic. It's a hyperspace drive, and it takes them to hyperspace. So, you know, with the robots, like, I don't think they really even thought about that. They were just like, it gives them personality, which makes them more interesting to watch.
I mean, that I was okay with, because it's like, some of them were probably better than the actors in like some of these movies, but it's like, I was like, is there just like this whole Ghost in the Machine going on where they just like infuse all of them with souls, and they're like, you know what, guys? There's no way this could be a bad idea. Let's give every robot ever a soul and, you know, put them on the battlefield and hope, you know, they don't start questioning life and stuff and turn against us or something. So, I don't know, man. I just feel like whoever thought that was a good idea, they should be fired from the factory and be like, hey, bad. Not give robots souls. No.
All right. Actually, I have some sort of situation happening here, so unfortunately, I will have to be right back. I'm not sure how you want to handle this, Tekken, so I will be right back.
Even better. But yeah, I think I just... Like, I don't know. It's like, it's one of those things, like...
Can you see why there would be a divide between, like, people that are, like, original trilogy and then prequel trilogy?
Well, that's what I'm... because that's what I was telling, like, my bartender. I was like, even though, like, people had their opinions on this, like, I could kind of see why people would be like, okay, well, this set of movies is better than this one because this and this and this. Because it's like, there's, like, quite a difference between, like, even from, like, the character development or the type of storytelling that they're doing. It's like I said, the prequels seem like they have, like, a more focus on, like, the arc that they're going through, whereas, like, 4-6 is more like that adventure. It's like, this is happening, guys. This is going on. These are, like, characters you're going to be following around for a while. It's like they're all doing, like, this crazy thing going on. Like, poor Han Solo got dragged into this. Like, he was just trying to, he's like, yeah, I'll take you guys to this place. And then next thing you know, he's like, okay, General Han, you're now part of the... It's like, what's happening here? It's like, I didn't sign up for this. I was just driving these guys to a planet. It's like, now this is happening. So it's like he kind of like, it's like people just got dragged into this without consent. And it's like, oh, yay, I'm glad this happened to me, I guess, because, yay. I mean, I guess it semi-worked out for him, because, I mean, he ended up with, like, Leia. So, I mean, he did get something out of it, but still.
RPG, it's the Empire. They're evil. They have to be stopped.
Yeah, but he's just like, he was just some... random guy, though. He had no stake in that.
He was a smuggler. He's all like,
yeah, but that's
on,
like,
the wrong side of the law.
He's not. I'm pretty sure space politics is complicated. And
then Jabba's all like, hey, dude, why'd you drop your load? And he's all like, well, you know, sometimes even the best of us get boarded, dude, and we gotta chop our freight.
But I
feel
like, man, he was just like some normal dude, though. He wasn't like a soldier or anything. He didn't have like four towers.
Normal dude.
He's like, hey guys.
He's just a normal dude.
I'm just smuggling
stuff. With a sweet ship and a furry sidekick.
He's like, I'm just living my life, man. I'm just living my life. And the next thing you know, this guy's like, hey.
You make it seem like that's just his, like, 9-to-5. Oh, yeah. I totally just, like, you know.
It kind of is, though, when you think about it. It's like, when you think about what all the other characters have been doing, like, and he's, like, he's just, like, this guy. And he kind of got, like, thrown into this when he was just, I mean, he's just like, yeah, I just carry packages for a living. And then next thing you know, he's involved in a war. Like, it's not even the same thing. Cause it's like, you have Obi-Wan being all cuckoo banana pants, and he's like, hey guys, gonna go into hiding and, you know, only change my first name because no one will ever figure that out. But then it's like, you know what? It's fine. I'm gonna totally train this other kid to take on this empire. And you know what? Hey guy, you random guy in this bar. Hey. You're gonna drive us to this planet that no longer exists. So it's like, hey, take us. And he's like, okay, for monies. And then they were like, LOLs, you're trapped now. So, you know, get used to it. So,
well, he was the one that came back, just saying. It's like, he didn't have to, but he's like, well, the Empire is terrible. I can't let my homie Luke get blown up. Let's do this.
That's what I'm saying, though. He got trapped. He got
trapped.
That's what, no one even...
That was just showing that he wasn't a scoundrel. He had a true heart of gold. And then, and you can see it even more in episode 5 when he comes back on the Tauntaun. He's like, Luke's my bro. I gotta go back for him.
Well,
even though it's like freezing cold outside.
That's one of the things I preferred in 4-6 than the prequel trilogy is like the character development they had in there. Cause even though like they didn't have like a tighter story arc, it's like you had the characters being like they had these things going on in their lives and it's like changing them to like different people, because like I said, this guy, he seemed like, I mean, he's just some normal dude. I mean, yeah, he may be a little shady because he's a smuggler, but it's like, you know, he's just trying to live his life, man, like everybody else. And the next thing you know, this princess chick is like, hey, hey, join this war. And he's like, I mean, you're kind of cute. I can do that. But then he's like, oh, I might have got it in over my head because these guys are trying to blow crap up. Don't know if this is a good idea. So,
yeah, I'm pretty sure he's like, let's see. I can blow up the planet destroying space station. Then, like, everybody will think I'm a hero. Or just, like, leave it out there. Like, let it maybe blow up a planet that I'm on one day. Just chilling, hanging out, and having drinks. Oh, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. He got trapped. It was a trap. He had no choice. Like, it was like, at this point, it's like, crap.
I don't see how you can say he got trapped. That's just him making a moral choice.
No, because think about it.
Like,
could have been.
I'm not that bad of a person.
He could have been anybody. Because when they went into that bar, they were looking for just someone to drive. They didn't even. Like, he just got. He happened to get chosen because, like, he wanted the money, and he just happened to get dragged into it. So he ended up getting stuck. He could have been anyone. Like, he could have. Like, Han Solo could have basically been any character ever. And that's what. He would have been stuck because that's what happened. That's basically how. He was just some normal dude minding his business, and the next thing you know, you're like, hey guys, I don't know who you are, but we're gonna give you a butt ton of money if you take us to this planet. And he's like, I'm in. And then next thing you know, he's like, okay, I'm out, because this is like not a good idea. But then he got trapped because he's like, it's too late. I've already fallen in love. I'm already like in too deep. It's like I'm stuck here, guys. I'm stuck here, and it's all your fault because I was minding my own business and you forced me into this. So he's like, I'm doomed, man. I'm doomed. It's like, damned if I do, damned if I don't. So now he didn't have a choice. He didn't have a choice because he was in too deep. He was in too deep, Tekken. He was in too deep. Because, like, everyone else was, like, intentionally involved in this. Like, Luke was all jumping at the call. He was like, yes, guys. Yes, I want to do this. I want to do this, guy. I want to do this for me right now. And then he's like, everybody's like, oops. It's like, calm down, Luke. Calm the hell down. He's like, no, I'm going. I'm doing this. Let's go. MLG for life. Yes. Jedis, come on. So everybody's like, all right, guys. All right, crazy. We'll let you get trained then. But it's like, because I mean, even think about it, because like Han didn't even believe in the Force. He was always like, you guys and your magic, you silly crazy people and your magical stuff and religions and hocus pocus. All I believe in is my blaster, because it shoots, and I can see it, so I know what's happening. And then it's like, you know what, that Han guy makes a good point, because you can't see the Force, like, you would, these guys think so. It's like, yeah, these guys would look crazy to a normal person, and it's like, yeah, it's like, all right, crazy man, you and your magical Force powers, all right, you keep on keeping on over there, just gonna be over here playing chess with my hairy friend over here. So it's just like, he just kind of got caught and just snowballed out of control. So he didn't have a choice. I'm just saying.
So you must have felt really bad at the end of Empire Strikes Back when he got carbonite freezed.
Yeah, because it's like, hey, look at this. See, this is what I'm talking about. None of this would have happened to this poor guy. Like, he was just trying to make some money. He was just trying to make some money to pay back some crazy giant slug monster thing that he was in debt to for some reason. And it's like, hey guys, how you doing? Oh, what's this? I'm getting frozen, and oh, this isn't fun.
How you say, like, he's in debt to you for some reason, when there's, like, a whole scene in episode 4 that explains that.
Well, I mean, come on. He was probably forced into that, too.
He's like, oh, Jabba, I got your money, it'll be coming, dude. That was, like, a recurring theme of episode 4. And then, like, because he's out saving Luke, he never gets back to return to debt in time, and he gets carbon frozen. But it's cool, because they totally kill him in, like, you know, episode 6.
Yeah.
He got his comeuppance.
Kind of deserved. He was kind of gross. I don't. Yeah. He was gross. He was gross.
Okay, so had you not seen or like known what Jabba the Hutt was before you saw that part in episode 6?
What do you mean?
The like character, the little creature thingy.
The little creature thingy.
Like his, like, you know, his, the giant puppet that they have in that scene.
You're talking about
a giant animatronic of Jabba in episode 6.
I mean,
when they're in this palace and Leia's like all getting licked by him, it's super gross.
It is gross, but I mean, I knew of him, but it's like I didn't know like his role or anything. So it's like I knew he existed, kind of thing, as a character, but I didn't know like he was like some kind of space gangster slug monster guy thing. So
that's like one of the like things that people would probably like point to as like why they think the original trilogy is better. It's just because like it had more stuff like that where it's like not some giant CGI BS of like green screen monster.
You can kind of see that. I think in that kind of thing, it's like they probably went the CGI route because they probably thought, well, it'll look better than, you know, our puppets kind of thing. But then it is kind of like jarring if you have like a bunch of CGI characters next to like normal people kind of thing, because it's like, okay, it's kind of like it's not matching up here because this doesn't look as real as this. So, but yeah, he's definitely gross. So I just, man. And then it's like, and not only that though, because like it seems like certain characters, you kind of have to wonder sometimes. Because like with the Jar Jar Binks one, that I was like, okay, because like when he's first introduced, I'm like, okay, I already don't understand why anyone thought this was a good idea. Because like within seconds of him being on screen, I was like, okay, I can already see this is not going to be a fun time. Because why? But then when it ends up being like basically his fault, all this crap happened, because he's like, yeah, guys, this Chancellor guy, this one right here, totally trustworthy. Give him all executive power in the galaxy. This can't possibly go horribly. It's like, this guy right here, guys, you can trust him. This is the face you can trust. Come on, this is the face you can trust. So I was like, okay, so Jar Jar pretty much like single-handedly caused the Empire to happen, so you know, good job on that. But yeah, that was I'm assuming they executed him after they were like, hey, this is kind of your fault, so you know, off with your head. So that may explain why he's not in the other three movies, because they're like, yeah, we're gonna not keep you around because you know, you kind of
it's a prequel, so it takes place before, so they can't retroactively add him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, maybe that's why he's not in the other three movies, because they're like, yeah, we executed him after this, because, yeah, he made this happen.
I think there's something else besides the Jabba thing. There's something else. Oh, yeah, okay, so there's a part on episode 5 and episode 1. So in episode 5, when, like, Luke goes to Dagobah and he's talking to Yoda about the Force, and it's like a way more like mystical, like, ooh, what's going on here? Like, the Force is like a thing that surrounds us and penetrates us. Oh, wait, no, I guess it's like part episode 4 and part episode 5.
The Force,
like,
sounds very
Obi-Wan, and then he's talking.
It's like, hey, Force, stop right here, please. It's inappropriate. I didn't ask.
He's talking to Obi-Wan on the Millennium Falcon before they get captured, and he's all like, It's like, you know, it's a mystical force, or not mystical, it's a force that it's invisible, but it's still there, and it penetrates us, and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Then he gets to Dagobah, and then Yoda's all like, a Jedi, it's like, oh yeah, he's like talking to him about like the Jedi, like the light side and the dark side, and he's all like, you know, Jedis use the force for knowledge and defense, never to attack, and like even, like, don't like, you know, given to the dark side, even though it'll give you like way help you, like when you're attacking and feel more powerful and stuff. Don't fall under its seduction.
And what's so, and then, I mean, like, and what's so dark about the dark side though? Because I mean, outside of like Palpatine obviously being like super evil, I feel like the dark side people probably aren't really all that evil kind of thing. Because like I don't, because like the ones that we've come across, it's like, it's like, you know what? Some of them make some pretty decent points. It's like, they're not completely wrong in what's going on. But it's like, I mean, because like I said, because I'm pretty sure Palpatine was the only one who was full on like, yeah, we're taking over, guys. This is what's happening. Because everybody else kind of seemed like they were kind of just, you know, around. It's like, I mean, it's like they kind of just believed in like these certain ideals, and people were all like, oh, well, you're obviously evil because, you know, your lightsaber's red and you, like, and you're following this one guy, but it's like, were they really evil though? Because I mean, it's like everyone's someone's enemy when you think about it. So it's like, I don't know.
But there's those parts in episodes 1 and 5. Or, I'm sorry, 2 and 5. Wait, 4 and 5. Wow. 4 and 5. And then you have, like, the part in episode 1 where it's, like, everybody got really... Well, I guess not everybody got really angry, but basically it's, like, a, you know, prequel... When Qui-Gon is all talking to,
Who the hell is Qui-Gon?
Qui-Gon is, Obi-Wan's master.
Oh, was that his name? I could not remember his
Qui-Gon,
name.
Qui-Gon
like,
Jinn.
Like, all through the whole time, I was just like, Liam Neeson is the only guy. Because, like, I could not remember for the life of me what his name was. So I was like, Liam Neeson and Obi-Wan are going out to do stuff. And it's like, like, I don't know why I couldn't remember his name. It was just, like, ridiculous. But, yes.
Theo, and when, after they find Anakin, and then Obi-Wan, or, I'm sorry, Qui-Gon tricks him with the thingy to, like, scan his blood or whatever, and he's, like, looking at the thing, and he's like, oh, midichlorians, blah, 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 and then talking to his mom about it, and it's like, you have that versus, like, that's, like, really the only part in the prequels where they ever, like, talk about the whole Force thing, and it's, like, way, most people would say worse, because it's just, like, oh, it's these cells in your body that give you Force powers.
I don't think that's...
Yeah.
I don't think that's what they were saying, though. Because, like, when they said, like, his count was, like, super high, I think it was more of a, it's like, well, that's, like, his potential kind of thing to, like, kind of like a conductor, so to speak. It's like, it doesn't, like, necessarily explain how he used, so much as, like, he just has, like, a sensitivity, like, a higher sensitivity to it or something kind of thing.
Oh, but they didn't say that.
Oh, well, I mean, that's how I interpreted it. I didn't think it was, like, a, he has this, so it's. That's why he can, I thought it was, I kind of saw it as more of a, this is like his kind of like potential thing, because it's like, it makes him more sensitive to being able to do it, because he just, like, the cells in his body can just feel it, because there's so many of them, so it's like he's more sensitive to it and everything, so I don't think, I feel like that they weren't really saying, like, yes, this is, he has more matter, whatever the hell, so he can, you know, use a better Force push than everyone else, like, I didn't interpret it that way, so... Maybe that's why I didn't get.
Also, it's like interesting because like when I like rewatched that part in episode 2 when Obi-Wan's talking to Count Dooku and he's like, you know, join me and together we'll destroy the Sith. I don't think even though he's like making a valid point, cause it's like, you know, it's like, well, from that perspective, it's like, well, maybe he's like not so bad and maybe he's gonna try to stop Palpatine or something. I think it's more of just him trying to like deceive him. I don't think he's actually like trying to stop Palpatine. He's just okay, come here, Obi-Wan, and then I'll just stab you in the back with my lightsaber, and ha-ha, that'll be the end of that, ha-ha.
I mean, I don't think he probably wasn't trying to stop Palpatine in the sense that he was like, this guy's bad, we just have more of it, just like, yeah, I want to be in charge now, so let's kill this guy, which is probably why they implement that whole rule of two thing, because they do all have kind of like chronic backstabbing disorder, so it's just like, yeah, I think you've outlived your usefulness, so we're going to go ahead and terminate your employment with the dark side. So, yeah. Which actually doesn't, when I think, because, like, they had that whole rule two thing, but then wasn't Dooku technically, like, already on their team when Darth Maul was still around?
I don't think so. I think he came after, because that would be more than two. So I think Dooku came. I don't know. I'll have to watch the cartoons, but I'm pretty sure. No, because I think in the cartoon he says that, like, I had an apprentice before you, but Obi-Wan killed him, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
So, or it was before your time, Dooku, blah, blah, blah. Something like that.
Because
it was, like, before Dooku.
Because that kind of thing, like, because, like, even when, like, in the later movie where Palpatine was trying to, like, get Darth Vader to, like, lure Luke over to the dark side, because I was like, wait, if there's only supposed to be two of them, does he either plan on getting rid of Darth Vader, or he's, like, okay with his self getting murdered? Because, like, I'm assuming one of these things is about to happen, because otherwise your whole rule of two thing is going to be broken, so yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, when he's, you know, fighting him in the throne room at the end, is, like, you know, he's like, you know, kill your father, and then you'll finish your ascendance to the dark side.
See,
and then
that's
you can rule with me.
That's what I'm saying, though, because, like, if that was his plan all along, why would he think that Vader would be okay with that? Like, he had, like how is that, like, his plan, like, yeah, I'm going to bring him in, tell him to kill his father,
well, I think
nothing,
the thing was,
and this,
like,
could totally not backfire,
like,
on me.
Like, while he's engaged in a lightsaber battle, he can't really do anything about it. It's like, huh, well, like, now that you're about to die, and that he's about to kill you. You will see my ultimate plan, and it's that you're going to be replaced permanently. Ah, ha, ha, ha.
Because I can only assume Bader knew of the rule of two thing as well, because otherwise he would have not have gone along with this, although he did tell Luke he was going to try to overthrow what's-his-face. So.
Oh, yeah. But, oh, I think that's what it is. It's like the other one is always trying to, you know, outmaneuver the other one. So it's like, that's why, like, Vader at the end of 5 is like, together we can rule, because, like, we can take down Palpatine.
Yeah.
But then, like, Palpatine's like, kill your dad.
Basically.
And then you will be, you'll join the dark side with me.
I just wonder, how does the dark side even continue to even function? Because it's like, they're always all trying to kill each other. It's like, well, I mean, yeah, how do you guys still exist? Like, how is the dark side still a problem? Because, yeah. You all want to murder each other. As a matter of fact, if they leave them alone long enough, they probably will end up killing all each other. And it's just like, there's only two of them anyway, so chances are they'll kill each other and we'll not have to worry about the dark side anymore, because they're all trying to kill each other anyway. So, it's weird. It's weird. So, yeah. It's strange. But now, like, all the Jedi's are dead now anyway, so it doesn't really matter, because they got violently murdered. So,
I wonder if they're going to change that status quo in, like, the new trilogy of, like, where there's just, like, Luke, and then that's it.
Like, that one guy.
I was like, come on, can we just go back to, like, a galaxy full of Jedi's? Come on.
Like, now, yeah, because, like, oh, yeah, because Yoda does, like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. So, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's, they, like, basically, there's, like, no one left when you when it's like all said and done. It's like they really did end up killing each other, so it's like, well, man, they kind of balance things out, kind of, because there's nothing left. So the prophecy wasn't completely wrong. it just unfolded a bit.
More than one is too many, so there's only one now.
It's like the
balance is restored to just the one, which is more than zero. Yeah.
Basically. So it kind of just, like, it sort of played out, but just differently than they all probably expected, because they were all probably expecting to at least be alive when it happened. They were not. So, yes. That happened. And also, why does Bace have a purple lightsaber?
Well, supposedly each color means something different. And, like, purple's, like, super awesome.
But he's the only one that has one. Everyone else has, like, normal...
Exactly. So he's super awesome. That's... There you go.
But why doesn't Yoda have, like, a cool colored one, then, if that's the case?
Because he's 1,000 years old. He doesn't need... Like, maybe back then, you know, things are different. I don't know. Maybe they'll explain it later.
There used to be a theory about the blue and the green ones. Like, the...
Yeah, purple's back.
People who have green ones often...
Oh, yeah, they're, like, strong with the Force.
The dark side.
Well, and, like, that's the Republic. They have, like, explanations of it, but then it's, like, not canon.
Oh, yeah,
like, whatever.
Although, apparently, like, there is connection to Kylo Ren's lightsaber in the Old Republic.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Lightsabers. Also, the fact that Obi-Wan, like, blatantly lied to Luke about his lightsaber was kind of like, he's like, your dad totally wanted you to have this. I don't remember it unfolding like that. Pretty sure. Didn't happen like that, Obi-Wan. Calling BS on it, because I saw it. And he was not like, oh, wait, before you go, please make sure to give my lightsaber to my unborn son that I'm pretty sure I thought I killed. So, you
in fact,
know,
I'm pretty sure his last words to you before that were, I hate you. I
hate you. It's like, yeah, didn't really play out like, it's like, you rose-colored glasses all over that fight, I'm assuming, because, yeah.
So there's a thing, actually, that I've always wondered about over the years. I don't know if you noticed it. Red, like, they say that Star Wars, you know, the colors and stuff are very purposeful, and they did that on purpose. Like, red lightsabers on all the Sith, because it's, like, evil and stuff. But if you look at the blasters, all the Rebel blasters are red, and all of the Imperial blasters are green or yellow. I can't really tell.
I think it's green.
So, what does that mean?
I mean, they all... did end up turning bad, didn't they? Which reminds me, the whole thing about the stormtroopers having bad aim thing starts? Because, like, the first scene of, like, I think it was episode 4 or something, like, yeah. They murdered that they, like, slaughtered them.
It's basically like, every other scene, because, you know, there'll be, especially in the special editions, like, there'll be hundreds of them shooting at Han in a narrow hallway, and he's not dead. Like, he just runs away and keeps running.
All
like,
characters have plot armor, so it's like they obviously aren't good. Because I mean, Leia did get shot with a blaster from somebody in one of the movies. So, I mean, they obviously can't hit people. It's just like they're obviously not, just like. But at the same time, it's like they're not gonna kill off all these characters within like the first few minutes of the thing. So yeah. And in all fairness, a lot of people were missing them too. So it's like
There's a chart out there now that shows like who's the most accurate. Apparently, Finn is the most accurate. He has 100 confirmed kills or like hits. Like he fired 6 shots in the movie, and all 6 were shown to hit someone in the movie.
I don't know who Finn is.
Yeah, you haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea for that. So, yeah.
But I mean, I guess it's sort of weird, the explanation at that point where Obi-Wan is saying, oh, and look at these blast points. They're much too accurate for sand people.
Yeah, I was like...
But what were they shooting at? Like, these cinch marks don't appear to be near anything vital on this giant sand... what do they call it? Sand crawler.
maybe they're vital burn marks.
Like... You can only talk about accuracy if you know what the target was.
Mm.
And if you just see random holes in something, like, oh man, look how accurate they were. They hit this wall, which they were clearly shooting at.
Right? Like, you have no proof that they weren't.
I suppose that statement is true.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, chapter call. Basically, I don't remember everything, but we went over the whole, like, force explanation when, like, Obi-Wan talks about it in 4, and then Yoda talks about it in 5, and then it's, like, midichlorians in episode 1, and then, what else? There's something else.
I agree with RPG's interpretation, actually. I was never bothered by that thing quite as much as most people were. Because, you know, there's the saying where it's, like, a technology that is sufficiently advanced would be considered magic. And they always talked about the prequels being like, this was the golden age of the Jedi, so they understood more than later. So obviously, you know, it's like...
that would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, like any religion, like in the day, or... we don't know, obviously, any of this to be true, but, you know, in the day, it would seem much more mundane, and then the stories become more and more sort of mystical and, like... fantastical over the years, and that clearly happened in Star Wars, and like even in The Force Awakens, like the trailers show like the Jedi are real, you know, the young people of the future, the Jedi were real, and it's like the Force was real, and it's just like that's crazy,
like,
and
that was
so you know when we're following Luke's adventures, like he didn't know about the Force, and then suddenly he knows about the Force a little bit, and it's like it does seem very magical. It's like it's a thing that binds the universe together and controls your actions, but it also obeys your commands. And
which is actually kind of funny, because it's like the way things played out over the course of all 6 movies, though, it kind of felt like it really was that, because like there were way too many coincidences for, you know, it's like there has to be something driving all this, because it's like too many people were in the right place at the right time, too many people happen to end up in the same places. It's just like... these coincidences are way too convenient. So
yeah, like in the prequels, like it doesn't change the nature of the Force. Like the Force is still the Force, but they understood, like I guess they had looked into, well, how come some people can feel the Force and some people can't? And they found something and they gave it a name, and like it didn't. For me, like, even that line, like, it didn't change sort of this mystical nature of the Force itself, but it did take away part of, like why Force sensitives are special, I guess.
And then RPG was all, like, defending or not defending, but just saying, like, you know, Hanzo got a bad deal when he got...
He did. He kind of got trapped
in League.
He got trapped, man. He got trapped.
They honeypotted him.
Just in a kind of hint, you know, mind his business.
Because he was just chilling in a bar. They're like, we need to find... Because like I was telling Tekken, I was like, Han could have literally been anyone. Like, he just happened to be the one that just got stuck with this. Because, like, when they went into that bar, they were just looking for somebody to fly them. He just happened to be the one's like, oh, you got money? I'll do this. And then, boy, did he ever bite off more than he can chew. Because it was like...
money.
It's like, LOL, you're now involved in this war. Also, you're probably going to get frozen sometime down the line. But don't think about that right now, because that's going to happen later. So it's like, this poor guy just trying to make a buck to pay off this giant space slug thing. And it's just like, hey, so fun story. There's these guys out there who have a weapon that can blow up planets. So, yeah, you also want to fight them. So, you know. Might run into them every once in a while. Oh, and two of them have magical powers, so, you know, gotta watch out for that, because I'm pretty sure one of them shoots lightning, and that's not, it's too late to turn around now, I guess, so guess you're stuck with us, so yeah, you know, that's
happening.
For some
reason, our side doesn't wear any armor.
It's like, so, you know.
So that vest? Oh, you're fine.
It's like, are you sure that's it? Yeah, no. It's good. Don't worry. Nothing can possibly go wrong. Nothing can possibly...
Chewbacca basically walking around naked? Yeah, you're
right. It's true. So it's just like, yeah. He really kind of got, like, screwed. Like, big time.
Actually, like, so related to that, you know how he sells himself in the bar, right? He says... The Millennium Falcon is the only ship to... Or what is that? It made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I mean, a parsec is a measure of distance.
Distance, right? Yeah, okay. Because I was like, technically anything could make... Unless, like, it's such a far distance that things usually don't make it or something.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, that's the thing. Most people say it was just him bragging. And... I've thought about over the years, and like, well, could it also mean, like, maybe the Kessel Run isn't what people think it is? You know, everyone thinks it's, like, you have to run a certain distance in a certain amount of time. Maybe it is a certain, you're given a time limit, and it, you know, how far you can run in that time limit.
And it's some, like, weird,
Because maybe the...
Weird, like, formation in space that you have to go through.
Yeah.
Like, weird terrain and
it's
stuff.
It's like he made it
over a distance.
Through 12, yeah, I was saying he made it over that distance that other things... usually don't or can't.
Yeah.
Kind of
so it's like, yeah, the obvious, it may seem like he just doesn't know what he's talking about, but then wouldn't other people in, like, and you haven't seen it yet, but like, in the future, why do people repeat that claim? Like, does no one in the future know what a parsec is?
They were just
Which
like,
I guess
you know
would,
what, this sounds good, so I'm gonna go with it.
Maybe that fits with my, it's less sci-fi and more fantasy.
It's sci-fantasy. So
yeah, and speaking of Han Solo and the slug that he owes money to, we talked about the whole practical effects versus CGI-ness.
I will say this, though, because, like, since I did watch it 1 through 6 as opposed to, like, so, like, the spoilers kind of, like, happened in the prequels, obviously, since they're leading up to... you know, what's going on in there. So it's kind of just like, oh, this guy is obviously turning into this guy. And I think it kind of, like, even though, I mean, I already knew about the whole Darth Vader loot thing anyway, so that didn't matter. But it's like, I think it kind of, like, builds up this different sort of tension. Because, like, when you're watching it, it's like, well, you now know this thing that the other characters don't necessarily know or are hiding from somebody. So it's like, is he going to find out? Are they going to continue lying to him? Is he going to be okay with it when he finds out they were lying to him? Kind of thing. So it kind of creates, like, this different, I guess, dynamic than if... Because, like, even though the person knows now, it's like, I guess, like, at the time where people were watching 4 through 6 or something, it's like it has that element of surprise. But I think it creates a different type of, like, dramatic tension for the movies when you watch them in that order, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Like, I was thinking that something like that might happen because... one of the things right now with Rebels is that Ahsoka doesn't know who Darth Vader is. But, you know, obviously probably everyone watching it does.
So yeah,
it's like, so it's not the shock of, like, I saw a video actually recently of a little girl watching Empire, the scene where Luke finds out who his father is, and she was just, like, so shocked. I was like, wow, that was so cool. But, you know, like, I think you can still enjoy the movies 1 through 6. Like, it would just be a different, it's not like a twist the way it was.
Because I kind of like it like that, because it's like, it's still like, that tension's there, but it's like, it's not.
And then you have like the fact of like, Obi-Wan lied to Luke, and it's like, ooh.
Quite a few times.
How's he going to
blatantly
feel about that?
Because it's like,
he finds out.
Because it's like, every time Obi-Wan even talks to him about Darth Vader, it's like, man, this guy, just digging himself deeper every time. It's like, because it's like, you know what happened. It's like, you saw everything that's going on. I was like, like, I understand.
My father. What?
It's like about that. It's like, and he's like, and then when he tries to like justify it later, he's like, well, I wasn't lying from a certain perspective. I was like, are you being serious right now? Are you really about to justify your blatant lies? Really? He's like, no, because when he became Darth Vader, that man that he used to be did die. I was like, no, you will stop doing what you're doing, right?
His dominant personality, who is the evil one, killed his good personality. Like, dead.
Like, I just wanted somebody to just walk by and call him out on that. It's like, no, you stop your lies, man. You stop your lies. Because it's just like, everything he was saying, man, like the lightsaber thing, the fact that his dad was dead thing, it was just like, it was just all lies. All lies. And it's like, he's just digging himself deeper. It's probably why he let himself get killed, so he wouldn't have to explain himself. Like, yep, kind of dug myself too deep into this. Gonna have to go ahead.
This is my atonement.
Basically. It's like, cause
you're gonna find out, so it's only fair that he kill me too.
Kill me, basically. So, yeah.
Were you gonna tell me? Hell no! I'm gonna let Yoda do it!
Nope. Decided nope. And as a matter of fact, cause as I was watching like 1 through 3, though, it's like it's funny because it parallels like Birth by Sleep a lot, because like since I hadn't seen Star Wars before, then it's like a whole different. It's like the stories are very similar, like the prequel to the rise and fall of someone's apprentice and this whole dark and light side and everything. Because it's like it's like very like if you play Birth by Sleep and then watch 1 through 3, it's like, oh, these are very, which is probably intentional, because they have, I think, as a matter of fact, the guy who is Luke Skywalker voices one of the master Keyblade guys in the game, so it's probably intentional, but yeah, so it's like, but yeah, it's like very parallel to like the whole rise and fall of an apprentice, and like the one master trying to, you know, keep everybody together, but failing miserably, and it's just like, so tragic. But I think that's probably why I enjoyed the prequel trilogies more too, probably is because the Kingdom Hearts connection. So that might have been it too, that had that factor going on, although Birth by Sleep was far more tragic than the prequels, because like nothing went right. Nothing. So they're waiting for their Luke to save them. And he also failed miserably in one of the recent games. So yeah, it's not going well for the light side right now. So yeah,
fun.
But I do play 7 eventually, I guess, before it's like out of theaters. I should probably like go soon, because otherwise it's gonna be gone and be like, oh, now I have to wait until it like starts coming on TV or something, which will not be for like, I don't know how long it usually takes anymore. So. I don't know. It might be, what, like at the end of the year, maybe, or something? Maybe sooner? I have no idea.
On like, HBO.
On, like, movie channels.
And Clone Wars? Or is that too long?
The show?
On Netflix.
How many seasons is it, though? Because
6.
Well, it's 5.5, because the 6th one's, like, half a season.
Yeah.
Because
it ended. They got canceled.
Oh, right, because there was that whole shenanigan.
Bought it.
Yeah.
And they're like, No! We'll make another one. Because Netflix wants everything.
They've saved like shows before, so it's like it's probably for the best.
Netflix is crazy right now. I remember when it was just House of Cards, and then now you go on like everything has a Netflix exclusive or originals label on it. It's insane.
Yeah, they have some pretty good stuff going on there, so. But I do want to see Sense8, because I heard that's pretty
good. That one's neat.
I haven't seen it yet, because I heard that one's pretty good, so I want to see it.
It's weird, but it's neat. So yeah, that was the first experience of Star Wars by RPG Mania.
Wait, RPG, I mean, which time to call it? Before we move on, RPG, what was your favorite character and favorite part?
Favorite character and favorite part? Well, like I said, I'm like a big fan of R2-D2. Just he's like my MVP for the series. I just don't know how anybody would have survived without him around. And basically any part he was in screaming like a crazy person was like the part, because I was just like, he is just adorable. Just adorable. Because the parts where he was like, I think they were captured on someone's ship or something, and he's like, R2 now, and he just starts screaming and like shooting out his like fire extinguisher and his little taser thing, and I was like, ha, R2, you're so silly. So that was pretty great. But I think one of my favorite, I really liked the ending lightsaber duel in episode 3 was it was really nicely done.
But you're the chosen one.
Like, I was like, oh, this is great. And it's like, cause it's like, I think part of it is cause the two of them had been, it's like that relationship had been like kind of like for like honed over the, like the rest of the people over the series. Like, you don't have that same kind of like relationship going on. Like, I mean, even though, I mean, I guess the whole father and son thing they were fighting, but it's like, it's not the same as like, cause Obi-Wan and Anakin had spent so much time together at this point. And it's like,
they're bros.
He's like, yeah, he's like, oh my God, you're like my best friend and my brother, and I love you. And I hope we never have to kill each other with lightsabers one day.
And it's like, oh yeah. Cause there's that part when Yoda and him and like Obi-Wan are talking, like when there's the last two left, yeah. And like, you know, Obi-Wan's like, no, don't make me do it. And he's like, You're not ready for Palpatine, dude. Sorry, you gotta do it.
So it's just like, man, that is
man.
It is. I don't know. It's like basically he's like, yeah, I don't really care about your emotional attachments because yeah, you're doing this. So it's like, oh, thanks, Yoda. You're the best.
Yeah, Yoda's also doing that later when he tells Luke that he has to fight his father.
Well, he's kind of like trying not to because he's like, well, you have to finish your training, but Han and Leia might die, but if you finish your training, you got this. You got this, dude.
Except
that was after. Like, he came back, and he was talking to Yoda on his deathbed. And then he said, it's unfortunate. And I was like, unfortunate that I know the truth? And I was like, no, that you have to rush to face him to complete your training. Yoda, always sending people, friendly people against each other.
He's kind of a jerk. He was kind of a jerk. So yeah, it was like that whole, like, it was just like so like emotionally charged, like that whole fight is just like, I don't want to do this, but I have to. And it's like, we've been training together. And it's like, why? Why? And then like, I also don't know how they actually survived in that volcano for that fight. You know,
it was the Force.
Is that what it was?
And the Force field.
It was, I'm about to say Force field. Ha ha. Get it. Get it, everybody! Get it! So yeah, because it was just like, because I was like, they should not, they should not be doing so well in what's happening right now. Also, what happened where it's like the lava all of a sudden just started like wrecking up the whole place? Because I feel like that's a terrible, like, was that like a fail safe or something? Like, I was like, that, I feel like that's terrible, because like they were fighting and then all of a sudden like something started beeping and then like the lava just,
so
like,
you can't really stand that close to lava and not catch on fire. But yeah. So it was the force fields, and that point was when the force fields got turned off. I was like, oh that's bad.
I was like, this seems like a terrible function to have for your, like, I would assume you wouldn't want this to happen. So I was like, that's like the worst failsafe ever. But yeah, because man, it was kind of sad. It was a very sad fight. And then he almost killed him. Except that I know he obviously didn't kill him because, you know, the other movies happened, so he was still alive, but still.
Like he was thinking about the lava thing. Yeah, you can't really stand that close to lava, so. Oh, and he did catch on fire.
He did catch on fire, yeah. I guess he couldn't, like, actually protect himself and, you know, missing limbs and everything. That might have dampened the concentration a bit. So
Obi-Wan chose a really bad time to once again change his mind. No, I can't do it.
It's true. It's true. It's like, nah, I'm sure it's fine. I'm just going to leave now. It's cool. There's no way he could have survived that. No way.
By stabbing him to the table.
No, I can't do it.
He's probably dead by now.
I know. Because he actually...
Give it a minute. Give it a minute.
Wait for it. It's like the agony. The horrible agony. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to go. It's, yeah. Good luck with life. Good luck with life. Because if you think about it, had he actually finished the job, a lot of stuff probably would have been avoided. A lot of stuff.
Not
so it's like, really screwed the pooch on that one, Ben. Really screwed the pooch on that one. Then he decided to go into hiding and go all cuckoo banana pants and screaming at sand people. And then Yoda went crazy too. So I was like, well, they're all crazy now. So... maybe the Force isn't all that great after all. Although it could be because they're so used to not feeling stuff. It's like, now they're in isolation, and all they have left is their guilt from all the terrible, terrible things the Jedi have done. Which one has to wonder, are they really the good guys? Are they really the good guys? So, you know, think about that, guys. Maybe the light side ain't so light after all. So light after all. And also, I'm still surprised, like, how are they, like, how did they not see, like, the whole betrayal thing coming, though? I just don't understand, man. I just don't understand. And then all the people were like, hey, Order 66, guys. Start murdering people. They'll never see it coming. Because, you know, that Palpatine guy, totally trustworthy. Totally trustworthy, guys. So.
Pagan, did you finish all of Clone Wars?
Not yet.
Okay.
Because, like, it seemed like nobody even questioned the fact that this army was made, either.
Yeah, Clone Wars.
Oh, it's all, they go over all that in Clone Wars? Okay,
Clone Wars goes over lots of stuff that they, I mean, in the interest of time, must have had to leave out.
Oh.
Maybe had it thought about at that point.
Maybe I will watch it then, because it's like, I feel like there's like so many questions, and it's like, how, why did no one, like, I don't know. For like a council of people who are supposed to be super wise, they did a lot of stupid things. So it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, and if you get the chance, like, the comic that's out right now is pretty, or, like, several Marvel comics that are actually pretty cool. Like, the Darth Vader one goes into really interesting stuff. So it takes place, like, between 4 and 5, and it sort of starts off, like, initially Darth Vader didn't know who blew up the Death Star, but he was, like, in the doghouse because the Death Star got blown up. And so he was like trying to figure out, okay, what's the Emperor planning now? Like, he sort of cut me out of the loop. And so he's looking to like hire his own bounty hunters and build his own army and stuff like this. And like, there are points when he's like, he suspects that the Emperor is lying to him about Padme. And yeah, when Boba Fett finds out, like, yeah, the last, like, I didn't find him, but his name is Skywalker. And Darth Vader is like, oh yeah, he lied to me. And it's like, wow, this is pretty compelling.
I guess that makes sense of like why he would try to turn Luke then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
At that point, then he, I guess like that's sort of the beginning of, I'm going to take out Palpatine.
Like that bastard. So now, but what would have happened had, you know, they like successfully lured Luke over, then there were three of them, but then Luke was like, I'm on board with this Palpatine guy. Like, would they have, like, gotten rid of Darth Vader so they can keep their two going on? Or would they,
yeah,
like,
so it depends on, like, who would have lured him over more. Like, Palpatine's goal was to lure Luke over and kill Darth Vader. But he was, I guess Palpatine wasn't that picky. He was like, oh yeah, if you kill Vader, then you're my then if Vader kills you, then
I still got Vader.
So it's all good. Which
is probably why Vader was like, well, you know what? Yeah, we're gonna murder you.
Yeah.
You're kind of a jerk face. Yeah, because Palpatine really didn't seem all that attached to any of his apprentices. Like he kind of just like Dooku is like, yep.
Yeah, like that part he was clearly like, oh, I don't, you know, rule of two, so I want Anakin.
It's like, you know, man, now that Dooku should totally kill this guy, Anakin. Anakin's like, but I don't know if that's...
So you just cut off your hands, dude.
Like,
those don't grow back. And good luck wielding the lightsaber with those, because they're gone.
Good luck getting two robot hands. That's not
because it's like he's so cold, and it's just like, and it was sad too, because like the look on Dooku's face,
yeah.
Really crap. Like, he looked like really hurt, like, because he's like,
Papa.
Basically, it's basically like getting betrayed by your father, because he was like he looked like his life. His life was over, but it's like he just looked like the wind had been knocked out of him, because he's just like, wait, but we were like going all the way, man. We were master apprentice. What do you mean? And then he's just like, yeah, go ahead and kill him. It's cool. I don't need that guy anymore. I got you. Because you fall for everything I say, hook, line, and sinker. You're going to be a good apprentice. I mean, hey, this guy, super evil. Kill him, because, yeah, bad. Yeah,
actually, I guess now it's part of the Legends line, but, like, Force Unleashed, the game, was basically a story about how, before Vader knew about Luke, he found another, like, Force kid who was really powerful, and it's like, oh, I'm going to train him. And we're going to take over the Empire. And then it was like, man, the plot in that game was like, it was very back and forth. So his name was Starkiller, and he was like, oh, yeah, so my sole mission is to go kill the Emperor at some point. And then it, like, it wasn't the case, and then it was the case, and it wasn't the case. It was like, what is going on?
It's like, make up your mind. Make up your mind.
Man. The story in that one was really cool. That was probably the best part of that game.
Really?
Huh. Force Unleashed? Did you ever play it?
Well, I never played it because it got terrible reviews.
Yeah, like, the gameplay part is really, like, not super good. But, like, the story was awesome. It was like, oh my gosh, man. This was, like, the story of Darth Vader's secret apprentice. And it was like, this is so cool.
Curses.
I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense. But, I mean, one has to wonder, though, why even bother with the rule of two thing if, you know, you're basically always watching your back. So it's like, why?
I guess it's easier if you only have to watch one person, or at most, like, two people. Because you know, if the other person has a secret apprentice, then that apprentice, if they're truly sort of Sith-ish, then they are also trying to kill their master.
Gosh.
So you can watch, you know, your apprentice and your and their secret apprentice, but you don't have to watch that guy too carefully because he might actually be an ally.
Yeah, like the Sith Council convenes. It's like, so half of us are missing. You know, half of Jack and Bob and Sarah and Scott. No, Master.
I don't know. Okay. I just know one of them fell asleep in the tub, and stuff happens. Stuff happens.
There's a reason why.
I would actually love to play like a Telltale game like that, where it's like, it's like all the Sith, and it's like a Telltale.
Sith Lords. Oh, man.
That would be great. It's like trying to be the last one left to survive or something. It's like everyone turning on everyone. Oh, man. That would be interesting. Someone should make that game. Get on it, developers. Yeah. Because that would be hilarious. Now, another question. It's like, how come they didn't use, like, their Force powers all that much when they fight? Because I feel like that would give them like a definite advantage over... Is it like just something because it requires like a lot of concentration to do? Or it's like, I feel like...
The depiction of how the Force is used has changed somewhat over the years. Like, I think in the original trilogy, it's much more... Like, it has more of that mystical feel, so it's sort of slower.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the prequel trilogy, like, I don't think... Is there Force pushing in the original trilogy?
Oh.
The original trilogy? Ooh.
I don't recall anything. I don't think there is. Pushing.
I don't think the part really where did choke him when he's like throwing stuff. I don't think there's never like a push.
There's this part where Darth Maul opens a door by like force pushing something into the switch of it, but they don't push people.
Well, in the prequel, there was definitely force.
They did. I was about to say they didn't.
Oh wait, never mind. I'm sorry. I got confused for a second.
In the original trilogy, the only force combat part you saw really was when Darth Vader was like they were in Cloud City underneath it, and held up his lightsaber like he was meditating, and he was like throwing stuff from the walls off.
Yeah.
And it was just like much more. It seemed like it took a lot of effort to just do this, and like even Yoda like trying to lift big things, like keeping that thing from smashing the two Jedi. Looked like it took a lot of effort.
Although, because I mean, Palpatine was then again he was evil, so that means he probably didn't have the same restrictions. But it's like because when he was like throwing the Senate chairs, and they're just like Senate fight.
Like that's what I'm talking about. Like in the prequels, it was more like kinetic and more immediate, I guess. And then like stuff like Force Unleashed was just like you just pull it out whenever. And I think even in Force Awakens, it's more like it's flashier. Like the Force is much more quick to respond.
I agree.
Because they use like some power. There was like one where, because I was going to ask you guys about that. Like they did like some super speed thing.
Phantom Menace.
In the first episode. Yeah, and it's like, I was like, wait, so, like, this thing just, like, gives them all kinds of, like, weird power sets. Like, how are they, like, they should never be defeated by it? Because it's like, you have enhanced agility, super speed, like, telekinetic abilities, clairvoyance. It's like they have, like, the Force has, like, a buttload of powers. Like, how are they just not always using this? How are there not more evil Jedis? Because it's like, I would abuse the hell out of this. Like, I'd abuse the hell out of this.
It's actually, like, a really good episode about the Force visions in Clone Wars when Ahsoka's, like, she sees someone, like, when she sees, like, she sees Padme get killed, but, like, she sees, like, so many different versions of it. And, like, she talks to Yoda, and he's always, like, you know, you never know when you're looking into the Force of, like, what the outcome of the future is, and that's why it's so dangerous to, like, jump to conclusions of, like, what's going to happen.
Yeah, to be, like, mindful about it. Learned that the hard way, didn't he? Because...
That was a really cool episode.
Because, I mean, it's like, they have all kinds of, all these, and I mean, it even gets worse, because, like, some of them can shoot lightning. It's like, it's like, powers out the wazoo. So it's like, how is this not abused more in fights? Like, I don't understand.
Well, so I guess a question for Tekken, and we won't spoil anything, but Force Awakens, like, do you think the Force is more, like, they're more powerful in the Force in Force Awakens, or is it because we're making a movie, we want to show people that something they haven't seen before, and that's why it's like that.
We want to show people that something they haven't seen before.
Okay, so you think they're still like Force power wise around the same, but it's this looks cool. We're gonna do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. And cryptic.
Like Force Awakens, Force Unleashed. Like that's what they wanted to do. I guess they weren't gonna say like Starkiller was like basically the most powerful Force user ever. They wanted to do stuff that had never been seen as far as the Force, and it was like he pulled a Star Destroyer out of the sky. And it was like, I suppose technically, like, because if it's the Force, you know, size matters not. So it's a Star Destroyer, but since it's the Force, it doesn't matter how big it is. And so yeah, like that's what Yoda said. Why couldn't you pull a Star Destroyer out of the sky?
So by that logic. Yeah. As a matter of fact, because like, oh wait, no, because Dooku could shoot lightning too. I was about to say, why didn't What's-His-Face like use lightning powers? But I guess that's something you have to learn, I guess.
Yeah.
Darth Maul. Probably because it doesn't look bigger. He's more athletic looking. Maybe it would short circuit his life support systems. So Darth Vader doesn't use it.
That's true. Because it's like
tried it once, hand didn't work for a week. So,
that's actually true. Because he would have to like
comes
channel
out
it through
of my
it
stump.
With it. I'm gonna say he'd have to channel it through his robotic. Yeah, that probably would not be good for him. So,
My guy who fixed it, he was just like, why don't you attach, you know, like a taser to this arm? I mean, it's a robot arm anyway. And I thought,
it's like, nah, I have to look. I have to look more human. You can't look all menacing and stuff with my taser hand. Like, sir, you're walking around in black armor. I'm sure you're already, the ship sailed on the menacing part. Just take the taser. Just take the taser. So. So the Jedi can't use the lightning thing at all? Is it just like they just don't want to, or can they?
I think it's they don't want to.
Knowledge and defense RPG, never to attack. Jeez.
But I mean,
the principal thing.
I guess, but I feel like it would be so useful of a power to have. It's like,
and that's why there's always going to be the dark side, because someone's going to be like, oh, I was looking through the archives and. Lightning, dude.
Lightning. Lightning for everybody. Although, wait, but then wasn't Palpatine talking about that one guy who you...
Oh, he could live forever.
Yeah, like, that isn't technically an attack power, so it's like, why was he, like, considered all dark if he was... Just because he can, like, extend life, which I'm assuming Yoda had to do, too, because wasn't he, like, 1,000 years old? So, I mean, like... like, someone...
Oh, apparently that's, like, his species. They're like turtles.
Oh, they just live long? Oh.
Yeah.
And then also, like, he says something to Anakin in 3 after he has, like, the vision of, like, we have to accept our fate, blah, 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 and whenever someone dies, yada, 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 don't try to...
Like, the Jedi are full of excuses. Yeah.
Stop the natural course of life.
Full of excuses. The dark side is about getting results. They're like, hey, gotta do this. Nobody got time for y'all and y'all defense. We need results. So, I mean, the dark side's not all bad. They're not all bad. They're a bit more aggressive than the more not aggressive Jedi is how I see it. So, you know.
Did you just say they're not as aggressive as aggressive Jedi?
No, I said that they're just more aggressive than the not aggressive Jedi. Because they're all like, hey guys. We have to kind of react to everything as opposed to, you know, being proactive and, you know, maybe this won't backfire spectacularly like it always does, apparently, because, you know, reasons and things. Because, like, I feel like they could have stopped a lot of this. But nope. They didn't pay attention to the signs. They're all like, nah, Anakin's trusting this Palpatine guy, so it's totally cool. He's not evil. And then it's like, even though Anakin's like dressing in red and black now, that's not like a red flag or anything, guys. I'm sure it's fine. So I don't know, man.
Actually, it's funny, because in the Clone Wars, it's like, as I'm watching it, I'm just like, man, there are a lot of red flags here. And someone is, they're like all asleep at the wheel, just like not seeing the signs.
That's what doesn't make sense to me. It's like for a group of people who are supposed to be all wise and stuff, they really dropped the ball.
That being said, they were in the middle of fighting a war, so.
I don't know, Tekken.
Oh, I mean, it was covered in, is it Clone Wars? I think it was, or not Clone Wars, Attack of the Clones, where there's a scene where Mace Windu, Obi-Wan, and Yoda are talking, and Yoda's talking about how some Jedi are just like, they're too... I guess arrogant now, like they're not really like, oh, they're like too proud of themselves and stuff like that. And earlier in that movie, Mace Windu says the Emperor is like, yeah, like, or no, he says it to Padme. It's like, oh, Count Dooku was once a Jedi, so it couldn't be him. So they don't believe that Jedi can be bad.
Yeah. That clearly is not the case, because...
They adhere very closely to doctrine.
Yeah, well, how did that work out for them?
Unfortunately, they were all killed, so they couldn't actually learn from the lesson.
Exactly. It's like, they were wiped out, and it's like, haha, there's only 2 Jedi left, guys, and there's 2 Sith, so we brought balance. Just not in the way you probably thought was happening. So, yeah.
Clones turn on them. Like, whoa! All of this was a huge mistake. Next time, ugh!
I know, right? Whoops with the side of whoops. But yeah, now I'm going to have to actually watch Clone Wars. Because it's like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, how is anyone okay with this secret army that was apparently commissioned in there? Everybody's like, I didn't sign off for it. It's like, well, neither did I. It's like, nah, it's cool. We'll keep them. It's fine. We'll just keep. No way this can turn on us. No way this can end badly for us. I mean, despite the fact we all have psychic powers, none of us are going to see this coming. So it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. We'll accept it. We'll accept it, guys. So there better be a good explanation, Tropical. There better be a good explanation.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Ah, now I gotta finish Clone Wars, man.
Yeah, it's the explanation is really near the end. Because, like, most of the Clone Wars series, they didn't do too much stuff with the movies that, like, there was stuff here and there, but it was really, like, the season that never was that kind of is. And they just decided, yeah, all these stories that we want to do, like, we should do these. Mm. And that's what they did. They answer the unanswered stuff.
They better have.
So we want to do news now?
Yeah.
That was a fun romp through Star Wars, actually. Good times.
You're welcome.
See, now we can all talk Star Wars, and it makes sense to everybody. That is what we got out of this.
Yeah.
All right, news. I guess we'll start off with some stuff that has come out of The Division. Tom Clancy's The Division. I guess there's like a beta or something going on right now. The visuals, once again, an Ubisoft game that doesn't look as good as when they originally showed it to us.
Well, of course.
That's sad. The other thing about it is there's some weirdness with their microtransactions.
Tactical, you had to say the M word. No, I didn't know this game had microtransactions.
So this was Eurogamer, and at a press event, they asked the creative director if the game supports DLC microtransactions or both. And the guy said, well, it's just DLC. Because, like, and this is sort of weird, so he says, there will be no microtransactions at all, not even for vanity items. Vanity items will be sold as DLC through regular first-party stores.
What?
So it was just like, aren't vanity items like what we consider microtransactions? And yeah. I guess they're like, no, I don't know, like if there's a globally agreed definition of the word microtransactions, but you don't pay to win or advance or anything like that. We have DLC plans, which we're not talking about now. And obviously, you'll pay for that. But in addition to that, there's no microtransactions as I defined them.
That's not problematic at all. I hope I can earn it through in-game playing, because otherwise, not buying that.
Yeah, I think my conclusion is the same as the article's writer. This is I think they're just defining it differently, so that they can say that they don't have microtransactions, even though, I mean, who doesn't call vanity items microtransactions? And, you know, even that is wrong now, because, like, with Dead or Alive, like, $93 vanity items, that's no longer a microtransaction. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious when I read it. I was like, you are wrong. Hitman, delayed. Pre-orders got canceled mysteriously. Apparently what has happened is Hitman is now a fully episodic game.
Ah, man, see, this happened like right after we did last week's episode, like the next day or something.
Yeah.
I saw it, and I was like, I guess we're talking about it next week, but I was still looking forward to like what they're going to do with it. I'm not sure if it's going to impact the format that they had before, where it's like they just roll out hits as they happen, but it seemed like really cool like what they were going to do
this
time around, so I'm not sure if it's going to be the same game. Or what's up with it now that's episodic?
I don't really understand actually what they mean by, like, by this. Like, so each chunk of it is going to be not connected to the rest of it, I guess?
What?
Or, you know, like, it felt like before it was just one game, and then they're going to add more and more parts to it. And now it feels like, you know, when you turn episodic, it's like each part is sort of its own
self-contained
thing. Yeah, self-contained thing. They say that they'll have larger episodes that will be interspersed by weekly live events and other smaller editions. Still coming out on the 11th of March, with the beta coming out February 12th. And the base game is just a prologue and Paris. followed by Italy in April and Morocco in May. It's $15 for the intro pack, or you can buy the whole thing up front for $60. If you buy each one individually, they will be $10 each.
Wait. I'm confused on what you just...
So the first one is
$15. Each episode is $10 each?
Yeah, if you buy each one, it's $10.
Okay.
Or get a season pass upgrade from the $15 intro pack for $50, and that gets you everything. Or you can just buy everything all at once for $60.
Okay.
Which will be on disc at the end of the year.
See, it's weird. It's weird, like, when you say it, like, that it's going to be on disc at the end of the year.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
That's how they do it. Life is Strange came out this week on disc.
Cause that doesn't seem to, like, seem that it's going to be, like, supported beyond the first year.
makes me sad.
Our season's down. We'll just, maybe do season two, maybe not. We'll see what happens.
Well, so what they're saying, actually, with the narrative side is that this is the beginning of a sort of saga. Obviously, that probably means that, if people like this one, we'll keep it going. Because, like, this episodic Hitman is supposed to build the foundation for a longer-running narrative that extends beyond just the first game.
See, that's cool, except for the fact that, like, if they were, like, pricing it like they are, it would, like, add up over time.
Because, originally, potentially, it could have been sort of the original way that we viewed Destiny, where it was, like, a 10-year Destiny. Hitman, like, potentially, if you got the systems right in the beginning, then you could just keep adding more and more environments and putting, it's a very emergent type game. Like, stuff happens because of the systems interacting with each other. And so you just make new environments, new types of AI archetypes and stuff like that, and you could keep building it forever and ever and tell whatever story we wanted. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen now. Danganronpa Epic is coming to PC in February on Steam.
Play it if you haven't. Play it if you haven't.
That's basically why they're doing it. They feel like it was just on Vita, which really limited how many people could play it. So they're bringing them to Steam. They have other plans, apparently, Spike Chunsoft, to bring more of their titles to Steam, including the sequel, and maybe ones beyond that. They say stay tuned.
Yay. Are the 999 games on there, or the whatever the hell they call that series, because they're all different names, so...
Not that I know of. But that, yeah. Prime candidates for games that were... Like, those were all DS games?
Well, Virtua's Last of War was Vita and 3DS or something, which... Yeah, so
that's pretty cool. I don't think there's any... Support Steam achievements and Steam Cloud with plans to add Steam trading cards. So, some enhancements specific to the Steam version. The Witness coming out next week, right? January 29th? But maybe the 26th. Coming out for PC and PS4 soon after, or not soon after, but sometime after, though, also coming to iOS. And apparently the ESRB has rated it for Xbox One.
What?
Which has never been revealed before. I guess the developer said that they just did it. Like, they're saying they still have no plans for an Xbox One version, but they got the rating so that they wouldn't have to do it later if they needed to. I was like, I don't know if I buy that.
It's like lies.
But, the official website says months after it's scheduled to come to iOS, and then a bit later to other platforms. So, who knows? It's actually, you can pre-order it on Steam now. It's $40. So they are pretty confident in the amount of stuff that's in. Or, they're just, I was about to say it in another language. Or they feel like, I'm Jonathan Blow, and this is my team, and I'm a Braid, and everyone's been waiting for this game. I can charge whatever the heck I want.
Oh, my.
Who knows what the truth is?
I kind of think I would do that if I ever was, like, a well-established developer. Like, I would, like, make a bunch of, like, awesome games, and then, like, one time just randomly be like, it's $100. Why is it $100? Because I know you'll buy it. Might drop the mic. Walk off.
Basically.
And then next week it's back at normal price. It's like, oh, early adopters, they always get screwed. They should have just waited. They know it's awesome. They should have just waited. Never.
It's pretty, yeah, maybe. Because I know there are developers out there who are sort of like, they hate the fact that Steam sales exist to the point that games are like less than a dollar. Because it's, you know, that is, how do you, it kind of devalues everyone's work in that sense. So maybe, yeah, this is, when you're an established developer, you're like, I don't need to devalue myself just to get a whole bunch of sales. This is The Witness. People are going to buy it for whatever price we set. That's all the news articles I had. There were a few games that didn't make our rapid release response last week. Because, yeah, even releases.com is not... Like, it baffles the mind that there is not a really good database that you can go to and reliably see every game that's coming out on a particular date.
Silly goose.
It must be really hard to collect all that information.
Well, it's probably because release dates change so much, and it's like, I don't know, man. They're probably just afraid.
But, you know, like, we did that last week. They should know the games that are coming out the week after that, at least, right? Like, the release dates aren't going to change that soon, release, generally.
Oh, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
We'll run through a quick list from PlayStation Blog's The Drop. New releases this week were Five Star Wrestling Regenesis for the PS4. That's digital.
Yeah.
A Boy in His Blob, we went over. Attractico?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I do as well.
Change gravity and solve deadly puzzles in this addictive first-person puzzle.
What? First-person puzzle? That sounds like Portal.
It does sound it is. Like Portal.
To the internet.
Changing gravity and solving deadly puzzles. So, yeah, I guess so.
Did you say Attractico?
Attractio.
Attractio? I typed it into Google and it's like attractions in Kansas City, attractions in Kansas, attractions in California. It's like, that's not Attractio.
Oh, yeah, it is attractions without the N. Baseball Riot, we sort of went over. I found out Baseball Riot is actually sort of the spiritual successor, or possibly sequel to Tennis in the Face, which is sort of like an angry style game.
I love whoever comes up with the names for things. Like, they are the greatest.
There's the
even though there was like nothing, like even though there's like stuff with attractions in it popping up, and apparently it's 8 out of 10 on Steam right now. So yeah,
most games have a positive, generally positive, whatever.
Ooh, this does look like Steam or Portal.
I'm gonna butcher this. Quaxlier Sigma PS4. There's an anime girl standing next to a menu of some sort.
Oh dear.
I don't know. Building magical blades, four girls fight back successive waves of monsters.
This sounds amazing, and pre-order confirmed.
It's out now. Dark Cloud 2 came out this week.
Someone of my friends playing it.
This obviously means that Dark Cloud 3 is getting announced this year, so I am, like, super happy about that.
It's exciting. The Deadly Tower of Monsters. Also, there's a demo of this game. It's from Ace Team, who made... I think Rock of Ages was theirs, and possibly Xeno Clash? Is that the name of that one?
The first-person brawler?
Yeah. Inside My Radio, also on PS4.
Oh, I wanted to get that and play it. It's like platformy with music, singing-ness. But I haven't played it yet.
Klaus, we went over a bit. Life is Strange is now on disc in a limited edition with the soundtrack that I thought was pretty good. Oddworld New and Tasty is finally on Vita. That's a three-way cross buy game, so if you have one version of that, you have them all. Also on Vita, a new game called Red Game Without a Great Name. It's a 2D puzzle action... Nope, no action. 2D puzzle arcade game where you control a magic mechanical bird carrying a secret message.
What's the message? Secret.
Doesn't say.
Oh, I have to play this to find out what the secret message is.
They piqued my curiosity.
Resident Evil Zero is out for PS4 and PS3 digitally. And the Origins Collection is out on disc for PS4. Stardust Vanguards, I think we went over. And Tachyon Project, which is a PS4 game. But I guess it's a twin-stick shooter driven by a story. I don't know. This is the first time hearing of it as well.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Twin-stick shooters.
Tekken, did you play any more of Audio Surf 2?
Not recently, no.
Okay. I just saw it recently. I was like, was that out yet when you bought it?
I think it was in early access when I bought it.
Yeah. It's out now. Yeah, so that's the news I got. Did you guys see anything this week?
Nope.
That I can think of.
Cool. Then that is the news for the week of January 20th. 2016. I guess I would say check out Basket Bell. Interesting game, probably really cheap on Steam. I'm not going to check it right now because I have mine default picture mode and it would just take over my computer. So, oh, also Steam controller. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah. Follow us, aimlesspodcast.com. We're at a new site. So direct yourselves over there to find the episodes. But no, we're still on iTunes and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, so.
We everywhere.
What are we going to do next week for topic?
Do we want to
do the question on, send it out there, like, do you usually blame the game or blame yourself?
I never blame me.
I don't think I ever blame me either, actually. Oh wait, never mind. I did say I blame me. Never mind. What am I talking about?
It's everyone else's fault except mine. Or the game's cheating.
I have no idea.
I blame Destiny a lot, actually. But you know, the teleporting is probably definitely not our fault.
Oh no.
But no, I'm talking about versus games.
I don't play a lot of versus games, so I don't know. We'll figure something out. Nothing can possibly go wrong. Nothing can possibly go wrong.
Okay, so yeah. That's it for this week. Like Topical said, check us out wherever. And stuff. Anything to say before we sign up for RPG?
No.
Alright. So yeah, just a reminder. Tekken's on the board, 3. Tropical's on the board with 1.
Wait, how are you on this board with 3?
What maybe I have 2. After recheck last episode. Did I only say 1 and 2?
You only had 1 last time.
Oh,
stop,
well then,
cheating.
2 for me.
You said 2 last time.
Yeah.
It was something other than Tales of the Borderlands.
I'll double check the scores. I'll be back next week. It doesn't matter if she's like 0, so it's like, you know.
Yeah, still. Well, considering I probably like ran circles around both of you last year, I can stand to be behind a bit.
See, that's gonna be really cool. Otherwise it's just like we would know the outcome at the end of the year right now. But actually, you know, we're gonna get to the end of the year and it is not going to be, or you know, that's the question. I don't know that it's going to be the way it is right now.
It won't be. I can guarantee that because I have a lot of games coming out this year, and I can guarantee you I will finish a majority of them, unlike you two. So I'm not worried.
Oh, we'll see.
I'm not worried.
See if RPG can actually put the points on the board next week, and we'll see you there.
I mean, if I really wanted to, I could just finish Tales of Zestiria like now. So I mean,
Till then, well, we hope you enjoyed listening. You'll hear us again next week. So yeah. It was Babble Z. Until then, we're now Turn it off.
Beep.